Oh, it's time for my favorite radio program. Mm-hmm. It's time for my favorite radio program. Mm-hmm.
It's really sad that I just got the IM that the music started perfectly, because that's what I just got. Where Brown lodged it. Started just one more time, you know?
I thought everybody liked the song, so they figured, why not hear it again? Thanks for the help.
Wait for us to finish.
We're still playing the theme. Hello. You've reached the hotline. You're all over the place.
This is crazy. This is craziness. I don't even understand what's happening right here.
Hey, Stanton.
All right, well, whoever you are, welcome to the Brown Lodge, and to all of you out there listening on RadioBBQ.net. It's a magical time. Welcome to the Monday Night Mystery. That is our program.
Hi, everybody.
Can I interject for a second, sir?
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Who's this that's calling?
Go for it.
This is the Yeehaw guy.
Fantastic. It's the Yeehaw guy calling to join us on the Brown Lodge. Mr. Yeehaw guy, you just joined in literally as the show was just starting. Just let me get my intro out of the way, and then please continue to let us know all about what you do. You're listening to the Brown Lodge exclusively on RadioBBQ.net. You can check us out on the AOL Instant Messenger at the Brown Lodge. You should also check out the chat room, RadioBBQ chat. And what's that?
We can't stay on with the Yeehaw guy.
Oh, we're definitely staying on with the Yeehaw guy, without question. The Yeehaw guy can be reached at 718-360-1413. What's that? 718-360-1413. We could also be Skyped up at RUNNDOGG. So, Yeehaw guy, why don't you let us know what your story is?
I'm driving right now. I'm trying to get to my little hunter, if you know what I'm saying.
I most certainly
and,
do.
I'm trying to put it into my day here.
I understand. Have you been in the office all day, putting in hard hours, having a long day?
A long day. You know how it is. You know, you bust your butt. You work your ass off. You're underpaid and
overworked. if you will.
Been overworked, yep.
Yeah! See, I gotta be honest with you, Yeehaw Guy. I personally don't know anything about working hard. Basically, what I do is I show up at work every day at this new fantastic job that I have, and I totally ride the coattails of the people that work with me. That's basically what I do. I'm like, I'm what you consider a,
you're a lazy bastard.
Well, not so much lazy as I am ill-equipped.
Unmotivated.
No, I'm plenty motivated.
Fat?
Well, that I definitely am. But, I'm ill-equipped to do the task at hand, and somehow I've hornswoggled my way into it.
Yeehaw! Wait. Excuse me, I've got to turn my...
what's that?
He's got to take his training wheels off?
He's breaking up left and right.
Brown Lodge, I'm losing you there, buddy. Losing you, Brown Lodge.
Yeah, no, we're
yeah,
back.
Yeah, yeah.
We're back with you. We think you have you have a faulty phone connection of some sort there as you're joining us here on this fine evening. Is this a cellular phone device that you're using, my friend?
Yes, it is. It's one of these mobile telephones.
excellent. So you can use it while you're actually moving is the concept behind it.
I'm actually driving and talking at the same time. The law recommends that you do not do this. It is quite dangerous. It is equivalent to drinking a bottle of Jack Daniels and driving at the same time.
Indeed.
Give us a yeehaw for technology.
Yeah, give us a good yeehaw for technology, if you would.
Oh, y'all want a good yeehaw for technology?
Why not?
Yeah!
See, I got to be honest with you, Yeehaw Guy. That was more of a yaha, but it was—I mean, it was fantastic work.
I loved it.
I think he can hit a real severe, serious yee-ha, and I got to be honest, I love this.
More like Minnie Pearl.
Are you all asking me to get another yeehaw in?
I'm asking you to get a yeehaw in because, like I said, I don't mean to be judgmental of your craft because obviously
you're telling me I'm giving out. Yaha.
The last thing I heard was a yaha. It might have been, you know what, it was probably that cellular phone, that technological...
Listen, lazy, unmotivated, fat bastard.
Damn.
Let me give it to you right now.
See, now I stand corrected. The gentleman has obviously been saying yeehaw the whole time. Oh, you wait to hear the crash any second after that.
He has to take his eyes off the road to do that yeehaw.
I honestly don't even think he has his eyes open. It has nothing to do with him being on the road. If you're really yeehawing and giving it to you, I mean, like, personally, I couldn't do it.
He's riding a horse up the median.
You know what happened? You give a yeehaw, you close your eyes, you get some air in your lungs, and you just belt it out.
I would tend to think, is there a physical explosion that happens or something, some sort of motion that happens while you're yeehawing?
Orgasm. Did we lose him?
I think we lost him. That's very disappointing because I was really enjoying the Yeehaw Guy.
Damn, that was awesome.
I'm hoping the Yeehaw Guy will be calling us back. He's maybe he'll be a new fixture here on the Brown Lodge. Who knows? God only knows.
He's still there. He's still there.
I'm still here.
That magic is still here.
I'm going to lose you, Brown Lodge. I'll touch back with you guys pretty soon.
Yeah, feel free, my friend. Join us whenever you can and just chime in. Let us know how to yee, how to ha, and how to put it all together as a yeehaw. One more time.
Hey, who's that little guy next to you?
Hey.
That little guy next to me, that's my buddy Runner. You know all about him. You see him on the webcam here. On the
Runner.
What's that?
Runner?
No, as in one that moves quickly.
Romer.
Yeah.
Excellent.
All right, boys, I'm going to sign off here, and I guess I'll talk to you boys pretty soon.
Fantastic, brother. Thank you so much for calling and joining the show. Feel free to chime in whenever you'd like to.
Will do, yeah.
One more for the fans out there that love you. That was a perfect yeehaw to end off on. Excellent. The Yeehaw Guy joining us here on the Brown Lodge, exclusively on RadioBBQ.net. You can check us out on the AOL Instant Messenger at the Brown Lodge. You should also check out the chat room, RadioBBQ Chat. What else could you do? You could Skype us up at RUNNDOGG, and you can call us on the hotline, 718-360-1413. We had a crazy introduction there. I don't know if I ever got it out.
Seriously, that was great.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely
That's
is.
Exactly what we've been looking for.
The Yeehaw Guy. God bless him. My name's Chris.
How did he know I was a little guy? He's got an internet capability built into his horse?
I suppose. He's got one of them newfangled
horses.
Wi-Fi horses. I'm sure the Yeehaw Guy... I'm sure the Yeehaw guy, that's what I was looking for. I'm sure the Yeehaw guy has actually checked out the show before, just sat at home and was practicing his yeehaws and waiting until he could have his moment in the sun.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't?
We don't even practice for the show.
Hey, that's not true. We practice twice.
Yeah, about.
Give or take, 1.5 times. My name is Chris. His name is Runner.
Hello.
The other guy's name is instant message from his girlfriend sitting on my screen saying Keith is still at work.
Right now?
Apparently. So I do not believe that he'll be joining us at this point. Hopefully he'll be joining us later in the show. I haven't had a chance to type back to her to let her know.
Does he take public all the way back home?
I don't believe so. No. If he had to take public from the other side of the island, we wouldn't see him ever. Because he usually gets out at 7:30. He wouldn't get home till like 8:45. Well, that's...
No, it's a pretty crazy ride.
Who knows?
From a job he doesn't have.
Exactly. That doesn't exist. The Brown Lodge, exclusively on RadioBBQ.net. The Yeehaw guy just totally took me out of where I was at, and I really love that. You know, I had an interesting conversation today at the office as we were talking about me being, fat and lazy and ill-equipped for the job that I have. I was working...
Not a good sign.
What? What do you mean?
Check and see if your cam works. They say the right cam works. We have to be our own technical... No, everything looks good.
We are the right cam. I am the right cam. You're the left cam.
Mine doesn't work?
I don't know. Are you on the page? Yeah, we're magical.
Oh, wait. I didn't have it counted down. Sorry. How you doing?
Whee!
How you doing, everybody? It's fixed.
Excellent. I'm getting instant messages left and right. I just got an instant message from a gentleman that I saw on the E-train earlier today, who is actually what I was just about to bring up. This is really crazy. I was working today, as I said, riding on the coattails of one of those better equipped to be working than I today. And as we're sitting on the train, I'm having this conversation with the guy that I work with about Oscar-winning films and about films that have won the Oscars and things like that for no apparent reason. Basically, the thing is, I'm new at this job. You know, I'm new to these people. Some of them, actually. Some of the people I've known for quite some time there. But this guy that I was with today is someone that I've only known, maybe the month that I've been at this new job. And as we're talking, we're having this conversation back and forth. Discussions about, best movie ever, best song ever, best whatever, soft drink ever, best everything, because that's just every conversation I have. It has to be some sort of ridiculous list of something somehow where I talk about something being in the top 10 of whatever it is that I'm interested in at that moment. Oh, God, roast pork lo mein is top 10 Chinese food ever.
Chicken fried rice.
But it's okay. I'll give you chicken fried rice in the top 10, but roast pork lo mein definitely like top 3 of the top 10. It's noodles, it's pork, it's flavor.
It is good.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I wouldn't put in top 3. But anyway, go on with your story.
So, well, whatever. So, amongst these conversations, we're having the conversation, we're talking about movies. And as we're talking about movies, I'm getting mad because we're talking about, we start talking about, like, some of the greatest films of all time. And the movie that I throw out there is Raging Bull. Do you agree, disagree that Raging Bull is one of the greatest films of all time?
I think it is one of the greatest films of all time. I can't argue you there.
Okay, so the thing is, so as we're talking about it, I bring up Raging Bull as being one of my favorites of all time. And the guy that I'm working with says to me, dude, that's not even in the top 10 best sports movies of all time, let alone top 10 of all time. Then he goes so far as to say, it's not even in the top 10 boxing movies of all time.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so I'm starting to get crazy at this point. I'm starting to get frantic. I know he's trying to be that guy as he's saying this because it's at least the greatest boxing movie of all time. To which he responds, no, it's not, because I even tell him, like, dude, you're trying to be that guy who just wants to be, you just want to disagree with me at this point, which he does have a tendency to do, and it's kind of funny that he does it because he's doing it over the top, especially when he called out that Million Dollar Baby was the greatest boxing movie of all time during the conversation. And then he says, no, but
I heard it's a great movie.
I don't know. I didn't see it. I'm not a big fan of new movies because I have to leave my house to go see them. Oh. Wait for them to come out on cable. But so in the conversation we start talking, he says, "All right, Rocky is a better boxing film." It's just like, wait a minute. Like, Rocky, I understand, is a good time, and don't get me wrong, I have the DVD box set of it at home. Love the movie, but one of the best of all time. I think is going a bit overboard. Maybe, okay, one of the best boxing movies of all time. Probably not one of the best sports movies. Definitely not one of the best movies of all time. And then he's talking about, what do you mean it's not one of the best movies of all time? It's an Oscar winner. It's like, Rocky is an Oscar winner? And this is the instant message I got a couple minutes ago from this gentleman that I saw on the train earlier today, who was so intrigued by our conversation that he said, I hear you talking about your radio show. I gotta know, you know, how to check you guys out later. So I let him know. And hopefully he's a new member of the Radio BBQ family, enjoying everything that we're doing here. Nine to five. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, magically, 9 to 5.
Hey, Chris, did you hear about that thing that just happened?
No, Radio BBQ, not us. No. We're only here a couple hours a week.
What days would that be?
That would be Monday and Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 10, well, 10-something, because we never stay to 10, because we're jerks that overstay our welcome as much as we can. And on Saturday, you can hear the best of. And if you like any of the other stuff you hear, you can check out what we have in the archives on our website, thebrownlodge.com. So he says to me, dude, it's an Oscar-winning film. Do you believe Rocky to be an Oscar-winning film? We're not talking best cinematography. We're not talking...
Rocky makes me cry.
You're not talking about the...
I seriously love that movie.
Best... Okay, I'm not saying that it's not a lovable movie. Adrian, he did it. I know. I feel. I told you. I have
the
DVD box set.
He didn't do it in Rocky. That's the great part.
But he did it. He did do it. Just because he didn't win the championship, he did it.
But usually everything ends on a happy note. Hey, I'm champion.
Dude, what are you talking about? The fact that this up-and-coming nobody went the distance with the champion, heavyweight champion of the world?
Dude, I'm in tears by the end of that movie. You can't say
But that's what
anything.
I'm saying. So he did do it. Just because he didn't win the title doesn't mean he didn't do it.
Okay.
Okay, so, well, the
everybody
whole...
Everybody does it.
So the thing...
Do you do it?
So he says to me, it's an Oscar-winning film. Do you believe this to be an Oscar-winning film?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
So I say to him, dude, you're out of your mind. It's not an Oscar-winning film. Raging Bull, Oscar-winning film. Rocky, not an Oscar-winning film.
If Rocky did win Oscars.
Puts his hand out to me and says, $5 bet. I have to think about it and say, damn it, damn it. Do I know for a fact that it's not a... I'm saying, you know what? It's probably like the best screenplay. I don't think it's a best picture.
Oscar is an Oscar.
No, we were talking best picture. Because like I said, we're not talking best cinematography,
you
best
specified
actress.
Best picture.
We said best picture. Shook hands on the bet. I gotta pay this bastard $5 tomorrow because in 1976, Rocky won the best picture. I'm stunned. I'm not shocked.
I'm not shocked.
I'm totally shocked. I didn't think it was an Oscar-winning film.
Absolutely amazing film.
Want to hear one more? Raging Bull did not win the best picture Oscar. It only won best actor and some other thing.
It was like 82, 82,
something like that. Best adaptation. It lost to Chariots of Fire, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So that's 81. Or was it Gandhi that it won to? Wow, that's awesome. You sound a little low. Is it just me? We should get some races going at some point.
Some racism going?
No. Not some racism. Oh. Hold that thought. Oh. No. We should get some races, maybe. Some Chariots of Fire. But yeah, so that got me crazy. I can't even believe it. And it made me think about Oscar-winning films. It got me thinking about the stuff. Because I couldn't believe who actually won and who didn't win and things like that. So I was just going to run down a list of like maybe the last 20 years, if you don't mind. And I'm curious to find out which Oscar-winning films you've seen. /enjoyed/haven't enjoyed, things like that, just things that piqued my curiosity,
if
you
will. I will give you my opinion.
Okay, in the 2000s, this is only updated to 2002.
2000.
Be careful, we might get sued for that.
Really?
I doubt it. Gladiator.
Sorry.
2001, did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Okay, we agree there. 2001, A Beautiful Mind, as Russell Crowe takes over the 2000s.
Saw it.
Enjoyed that as well?
Yes.
Okay. Chicago, 2002.
Saw it.
No.
Yeah.
Ew. Enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Ew. I'm going to mark a little something here. The fact that it just went ew as my announcer, I'm really creeped out that you saw Chicago.
Well, we get the hot box, you know. It was playing a lot.
I had that same hot box. I would never watch Chicago. Never had an interest. Hey, these things happen. It's fun. Let's jump into the 90s. I'll go actually, I guess, chronologically backwards. 1999, American Beauty.
Love it.
Probably top five but maybe top 10 of all time, but top 5 to top 10 of all time. Love the film. Fantastic. Shakespeare in Love.
Never saw it.
Nor did I. I hate it. Anything about love or Shakespeare, I'm against.
It's way too gay.
Yeah. Well, you know, gay doesn't necessarily mean bad, just
oh boy.
Don't like it. Don't. I mean, I don't care for the film. Titanic?
Saw it. Only part that I laughed during was when the people were falling onto the steam pipes and everything. Yeah. And people were, like, bawling, and I didn't care.
Do you not seem to recall Kate Winslet's ample bosom as she was being painted?
Yeah.
Was she being painted, or was she just...
Yeah, he was painting.
Yeah, that's hot stuff.
Nah.
Yeah, I wasn't really a fan of the Titanic. The English Patient?
I tried to sit through that.
But didn't even make an attempt.
Yeah, nah.
Braveheart?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Liked the movie. Liked the movie a lot. But I don't know if I would consider that a top... I'd probably put that top 50 if I had to throw it all time. It's a good movie. Honestly, I put Gladiator above it. That's where I'm at with it.
I bought them both on DVD. I like them.
I own them both on DVD as well. In DVD format. 1994, Forrest Gump.
I like it.
Most overrated pile of crap on the face of the
no
planet.
Way.
Can't stand it. Loved it when
it's a good movie.
Loved it when I saw it in the theaters. Watched it again when it was on cable, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. Just happened to be on one day. Hated it. Absolutely hated it. Didn't know what I even liked about it in the first place. Made me mad. The only thing I enjoy about it is that the kid who sees dead people is Forrest Jr. Which I didn't even realize that until the very end of the film.
Yeah, it's a... What's his name?
Haley Joel Dead.
Haley Joel, yeah, there you go.
Schindler's List. Hot film.
Yeah, really. I laughed all the way through that movie.
Unforgiven, 1992.
That's
a Clint Eastwood jam. I never saw it.
No, I'm not a big Western guy.
You watched it, though?
No.
No. Silence of the Lambs.
Loved it.
It's okay.
Come on.
I enjoyed it, don't get me wrong, but I wouldn't put it in the top of anything. I'd put it like maybe at the top of my DVD cabinet. I would own it, but it's not. It's nothing like... I wouldn't put it top 100 even.
No?
Good. It's okay.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a fine film. It's okay. It's an acceptable film. It's a satisfactory film.
Oh, I think it was a good thriller.
It was a real regular cyberpunk thriller.
It was that's Jodie Foster. She's one hot piece of ace.
I mean, it's a real cyberpunk thriller.
It's just pull it in the basket. Put that lotion in the basket.
Now I'm going to...
Seriously, though. That was a great flick.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, seriously, put the lotion in my basket.
Yes. I do need some lubes.
Now I'm going to say something very uncomfortable here. Yes. 1990, Dances with Wolves.
Never saw it.
Loved it.
Oh, God.
Loved it.
Hated it. No, seriously. And what was the movie?
I love no seriously.
What was the movie that you were gooking on me about?
First of all, I wasn't gooking on anyone. My wife is Asian, and I prefer that term not be used here. What the English Patient? The English Patient was?
No.
Chicago. Dude, Dances with Wolves, way straighter than Chicago.
No way.
You're out of your mind, dude. A dance.
Get out of here, Tonto.
Okay, wait.
Go put on your headdress.
Okay.
Talk to me later.
You're talking about the difference between a musical and a tale of human survival.
Told by Kevin Costner.
I'm telling you, it's pretty good.
Mm.
I will.
Do you finger yourself while you watch it?
Constantly, for diddling like a madman. I will see your Chicago and raise you with Dances with Wolves. I will sit through Chicago if you will sit through Dances with Wolves, and you're going to try and I want to know your honest opinion when it's done, which of the two films is better.
You're not going to like it on principle.
No, I won't. I'm not going to like it because it sucks.
You've never seen it.
Yeah, but there's singing.
You sing all the time.
Yeah, but I'm not in movies. If I was, I'd watch them all day. Yeah, I'm not a big musical fan. Not a big musical fan at all.
Super.
Super.
Well, anything that catches the goat.
Although, to be quite honest with you, I will absolutely get, Phantom of the Opera. I want to see that.
Okay. I won't even sit through that.
See, I saw the play, or the musical, or whatever you want to call it. I went through that, so I thought it was kind of cool. And Rent I saw, too, which I thought was awesome. We actually own Rent at home. I just haven't seen the movie version yet.
There's a movie. Yeah. Is it out?
Rosario Dawson?
Whew.
Is Rosario Dawson the one who's in it?
She was in the Daily News or something in the post yesterday.
You know, I don't know.
Unbelievable.
I don't know what the big thing about her. She's a little beefy for a cruiserweight.
You crazy?
She's a little beefy for a cruiserweight.
No way, man. You're thinking of someone else.
No, Rosario Dawson. What's the other films she was in? She was in Alexander, a little beefy for a cruiserweight.
She's in Butt Wranglers 2 and 3.
No, no, seriously, what films was she in? What do you love her for?
Is she in a surfing movie?
Oh, God, no. What surfer?
With the chicks?
No way.
Yeah.
No, she definitely wasn't.
You sure?
100% positive. That's Michelle Rodriguez, I think you're thinking of, dude. The girl from SWAT. Yeah, Rosario Dawson's a little beefy for a cruiserweight. She's definitely not...
No way.
She absolutely is. I'm trying to think what's another... I'm going to stop saying that phrase over and over again. Sorry, I just love saying beefy for a cruiserweight because of Bobby the Brain Heenan in like 1997 talking about the cruiserweight Yuji Nagata, saying, well, it's a little beefy for a cruiserweight, wouldn't you say? And that always stuck with me. I thought that was hilarious.
Funny man.
But...
Or he was.
No, he's still alive, isn't he?
Oh, is he?
I know he had...
I figured they're all dead.
No, I know he had, like, cancer, like, mouth cancer and stuff, and had half of his tongue cut out, like,
oh,
throw mama...
Oh, oh, oh.
Yeah, like, the like throw mama from the train, but no, he was... He's here.
Oh, love is mama.
I don't even know what you said, but I feel...
You don't have a cousin Patty.
You don't have a cousin Patty.
That's when he hit her with the frying pan.
Oh, God.
It's movie night on the Brown Lodge.
Fantastic.
www.brownlodge.com.
No, www.thebrownlodge.com.
Oops.
You're going to send people to that other site where I go to infrequent. And
is there one?
I wish.
Oh.
No, yeah, but, oh, no, it's not available. I know that. Yeah, you listen to the Brown Lodge. We're talking about movies, having a little fun, having a good time.
Did you fart?
I certainly did.
Man. Oh, Sin City.
Ah, Josie and the Pussycats. That's I just got an instant message from Dejan Tondu, a good friend of ours. She's a big girl, dude.
No way. You're crazy.
Okay. Big girl was probably an exaggeration. She's definitely not a little girl, though. Hold on.
Not a big girl in any sense of the word.
She's not a big girl in any sense of the word. I'm sorry, I'm just doing
She's not thick. She doesn't have a thick butt. She doesn't have thick legs.
She absolutely...
Libya.
I wouldn't know anything about that. That would probably be from that Butt Wranglers movie you were talking about. Yeah, no, she's a... Do you have any good pictures of her online? She's thick, man. You know what it is that's about her that's thick? Like the arms. When a girl's a little thick up in the arm area, that to me makes me think that she's going to be thick everywhere. That's usually what I use as a judging point when I look at ladies, because I'm so skinny and I have any right to say anything to anybody about her.
Look at the studio stills on IMDb from that Rock movie. You're crazy.
That Rock movie? What's the Rock movie?
The one they're in the jungle with Sean, the guy from...
Oh, yeah, with Stifler.
Runaway, maybe? Rundown?
Yeah.
Christopher Walken's in that, too.
Christopher Watkins. Yeah, I saw that. I actually watched that. I watched the end of that like a week ago. My wife was watching it.
And you can't say she is freaking...
IMDb.
Thick in any capacity.
Hold on. I definitely can. Hey, man, you know, we have a difference of opinion. To me, Terry Hatcher, perfect body type. Rosario Dawson, little beefy. I say this in jest because my wife was on this website called Pink is the New Blog, which you guys should check that out. It's just like random pictures of celebrities and stuff. It's fun stuff. And there were pictures of Terry Hatcher running that her legs, I swear to God, are thinner than broomsticks. It's the most frightening thing in the world. What's my girl's name? Nicole Richie look like a fatso. It's insane how skinny Terry Hatcher is.
You like Nicole Richie?
Oh, God, love her. Told you I love her. She's my thing. I'm big into her. Rosario. Sorry. I'm searching for things here on the Brown Lodge, exclusively on RadioBBQ.net. We're so prepared for the show. Oh, dude. Okay. In her main picture right there, right as soon as she comes up, you could see her jowls look too big. She's a big girl, dude.
Dude, you're out of your mind. I don't know what you're looking at or how you judge anything anymore, but you're crazy.
You don't think that that's a big girl? You're a big girl, and you don't stop eating. You know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on a big beef sandwich.
You're a big goddamn homo.
Oh, dude, you can see her arms in this picture. I'm sorry, I know this really doesn't work.
Yeah, people have arms.
Okay, she has large arms. Larger than average arms. Dude, look at that heifer.
Wrong.
All right, maybe she's not as fat as I seem to remember. All right, hey, okay, people could be wrong. She strikes, she looks like a fat girl. It's like Claire, it's a fat girl's name. You may not currently be a fat girl, but one day you will become a fat girl. That's how I feel about Rosario Dawson. I want nothing to do with her. Sorry.
But inside, I could see you pushing maximum density.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. yeah, she's. I'm not crazy about it. What do you want me to tell you, dude?
You don't have to be crazy about it, but her being fat is completely out of the question.
Okay. How do we get to Rosario Dawson being fat? We're talking about Dances with Wolves versus Chicago. Oh, she's in Chicago?
No. I don't exactly know how we got here at all.
Okay. Well, I will... All right. If Chicago is a better... Oh, no. She's in Rent, the musical, which I own now. Someone sent it to me.
You bought it already?
Someone sent it to me. Actually, someone sent it to my wife. And we have it at home. We haven't watched it yet. I will make a point to watch it and see... let's see this little...
AIDS.
Everyone has AIDS. Yeah, well, maybe I'll pop it in later on tonight or tomorrow or something, and I'll watch this big fatso flop around the screen doing a little AIDS dance.
You got that big widescreen set up for it?
No, I just have three TVs next to each other so half of her ass could fit on it.
God almighty.
Hey, man, she always struck me as a fat girl. You know what? In Josie and the Pussycats, she's definitely a big girl. Without question.
Is she one of the Pussycats?
Yes.
There's no way that...
She's the drummer.
So what?
Actually, no, she's not, I think. Okay.
If she's the black chick, she's like the bass player.
Yeah, she's the bass player. Tara Reid is the drummer that I think about.
And you like Tara Reid, right?
I used to like Tara Reid. She's a little worse for wear now. She's kind of used up at this point. Have you seen any recent pictures of her? She's looking pretty worked over. Don't get me wrong.
No, she looks beat up. I saw her in the Post, actually, with the same picture of Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, Josie and the Pussycats, I think Tara Reid had the funniest line in the history of cinema, believe it or not.
Go for it.
They asked her who her favorite, if she could meet any person in the world. I wish I knew what the exact dialogue was. Something like, if there's one person that you could meet or the person that you most admire in the world, and her response was Snoopy. and it floored me. It absolutely floored me. I thought it was the funniest thing I ever heard.
I gotta date that girl.
Yeah, she's pretty good. Which one? Rosario Dawson or Tara Reid or both of them?
Both of them, if I could fit them in one apartment at one time.
You could fit yourself and Tara Reid and throw both of your bodies inside big fat Rosario Dawson.
Oh, man.
Alright, I'm done. I'm sorry. I'll stop talking about fat girls and stuff like that. Driving Miss Daisy, Rain Man, The Last Emperor, Platoon, Out of Africa, Amadeus, Terms of Endearment, Gandhi, Chariots of Fire, and Ordinary People were the best pictures in the 80s, if you didn't know. Just thought I'd review those for you. Of them, I liked Platoon, I liked Rain Man, and I didn't see any of the other ones. Never saw Driving Miss Davy. Oh, Miss Davy?
So, I like that show.
I did see The Last Emperor, too. I didn't see Out of Africa, didn't see Amadeus, didn't see any of that stuff.
I saw Amadeus.
Did you?
Yeah. It was good.
I liked the song by Falco.
Rock Me Amadeus.
And that's that. You're listening to The Brown Lodge. Sorry, we just got crazy, started talking about old movies for some unknown reason. The Brown Lodge on RadioBBQ.net. Check us out on the AOL Instant Messenger at The Brown Lodge. Check out our chat room, RadioBBQ Chat. Go to the website, thebrownlodge.com. You can Skype us up at RUNNDOGG. You can also hit the hotline at 718-360-1413.
What that?
718-360-1413. But for those of you that are hearing impaired, you probably didn't know that we said that.
Do we get this?
Do we get what?
Internet radio for the deaf?
I don't think that radio for the deaf is something that actually happens.
Oh, really?
Oh my God, I'm getting instant messages with all the Tara Reid drinking games and oh things boy. Like that.
Man, I got a headache.
What's wrong? What's the problem? You had a rough day?
No, not really.
You had a sleep. You know what? Did you work today? You stood home today.
Yeah, I didn't work today.
You know, when I find myself sitting in the house not doing anything, or even sitting at work not doing anything, like sitting in front of the computer when there's not a lot of work to do, I get a headache too.
Really?
Did you sit around the house, or did you get outside? Did you do things?
I did a little bit of stuff outside, but not much.
Some manual labor?
Yes. I cleaned some little boxes. Maybe it was the smell of urine that got me.
That's my
favorite. Head's pounding right now. Ew.
Sorry. Speaking of pounding males, I was checking out this new book by Charles Gross. I don't know if it's Gross or Gross. Charles R. Gross. Gross.
G-R-O-S-S?
Yeah, I think it's Gross. Oh. Yeah, like the father from Family Ties, Michael. Michael Gross.
Right.
Yeah, I like his
clarifying.
Name. I just like the name Gross. Is that okay? Well, Charles Gross has a new book out called Room Full of Mirrors. It's an... Well, I guess I'll get to a room room full of mirrors in a moment.
Let's see what's going on. How you doing? You're on the Brown Lodge. We got the crime. You got the time. Anybody there?
Yeah, you guys are really great. I especially agree with the fat kid about Chicago.
I just want to say that when I sit around the house, I really sit around the house.
Waka, waka, waka. So that's it turns out that there's our buddy Monty. What's going on, buddy?
How could you tell?
Because that around the house joke that you used on me a few years ago and it hurt. It's isn't that, that's kind of like your tagline.
Have I really used that before?
Absolutely not. Yeah, if you guys don't know it, Monty sings for a fine rock group called The Monty Love. You can check out their website, montylove.com, which will redirect you to their MySpace page. It's a good time. And if you ever go to one of their shows, they always introduce...
It gets updated once every 8 months.
Fantastic. But yeah, if you ever go to one of their shows, it always opens up with, so if you want to know how you're fat, and he goes into that whole joke, and it really hurts feelings, to be honest. You should check him out if you can.
I'm sorry to hear that, but I just speak the truth.
No, it's okay. I understand. I sit around the house. It's hurtful.
Listen, I just want to see if make sure you guys are excited for football,
dude. I'm sitting back. I'm trying to relax. Are you really excited for football? You want to?
I'm ready. I got my pads on.
What do you got to say? How do you feel about the game? Your love, your life.
I'm hoping for a lot of scores this year, and
we're going all the way. I really had nothing to live for in the past 7 months, and
except for anticipation for a pick 'em league, maybe.
That's basically it. I mean, you know, it's really sad when the highest point of your life consists of men running around and a ball. But that's all I got left.
All of a sudden, you've changed the entire idea of the game.
But
men running around and a ball.
When you strip it down to its bare essential, that's really all it is a little ball and a big man.
Tight pants.
For the 7 months before the game starts, though, aren't you on Monday nights obsessed with men running around without a ball in a ring?
Well, yeah, and men in little tights. That's, break that one down and it sounds even worse. But, yeah, men in little tights jumping on top of each other. But
well, they distract us with the girls and the big boobs and everything.
I fast forward. That's the saddest part about wrestling is that when the girls come on, I fast forward it.
I think there's something wrong.
Because it's really the worst part of wrestling are the girls. Is it just me?
No, it's all the chatter in between. I hate when they go into a big long spiel.
Yeah, there you go. I just want to see fighting.
And tights.
I'm sorry. I wish I could add something to the conversation. I'm not particularly fond of wrestling. Since, since the WWF tried to redo the NWO and I got psyched for like 10 minutes, I haven't paid attention at all.
Well, that's really because you're not a real man.
Exactly.
That's obviously, can I ask you a quick question? As long as we're talking about me not being a real man. What is a straighter film? Chicago or Dances with Wolves? A more macho film, I guess.
Listen, we can answer that question with this. I own Chicago on DVD.
Nice.
Wait. Does that answer your question?
Not really.
Not at all, but that's all the answer that we need.
No, it does. I'm pretty much as gay as it gets, so that's the answer. I saw Chicago twice in the movie theater.
I don't understand.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know how gay I was until I called you.
It'll be all right, man.
The Brown Lodge, pulling people out of the closet.
I didn't even know. Man. But, hey, at least I'll admit it to someone.
Hey, no, these things happen.
You admit it to a bunch of people.
Yeah, you've been...
I wasn't talking about right now.
Oh.
Admitted to a bunch of people on RadioBBQ.net, where you can check out all the magic 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not 9 to 5 as I'd previously thought.
Oh.
You can check out our website, thebrownlodge.com, as well. Do all nice things.
The internet's 24 hours these days.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I hope no one unplugs it ever, because then we'd have a real issue. But for now, it's 24 hours a day.
How would we get our porn and our wrestling updates?
Or MySpace. How would we have any sort of interaction with other people?
Yeah, exactly. How would we check out the Monty Love MySpace page that gets updated once every 8 months? I don't know.
I don't know either. But listen, guys, I'm going to let you get back to your show.
Fantastic.
I have to start getting ready for wrestling.
15 minutes and counting. Enjoy the program tonight.
How do you get ready? Do push-ups?
That ball around the room? Who knows?
Hold hands. It's exciting.
Oh,
fantastic.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
All right, buddy. Thank you for calling in.
Later.
Monty Love, like we said, check him out. Check out his band. Check out their site, MontyLove.com. It's a good time. Where was I? What was I talking about before we got onto this whole thing? Oh, Charles Gross's new book, Room Full of Mirrors. Sorry, I didn't mean to sidetrack. Well, Room Full of Mirrors is a biography, if you didn't know, of a certain gentleman by the name of Jimi Hendrix.
Okay.
Are you familiar at all with Jimi Hendrix's story, other than his rock story?
A little bit, yeah.
What do you know about him?
Well, I know he had a bad drug problem. It was a little bit, he was into heroin more than, he was actually kind of an angry guy.
Right on. Do you know anything about his...
I was pretty surprised about.
Do you know anything about his pre-rock stuff?
When he played in, like, the band of Gypsies and stuff? When he played, like, in blues bands?
I'm talking about pre-music. When I say rock, I just mean music in general.
With him and his dad? When he
played the
guitar on a tennis racket and his dad went out and bought him a guitar?
Apparently you do know a little bit. Do you know about his military history?
No.
You do know that he was in the military?
Was he?
He absolutely was. He was discharged, and for years everyone was under the impression that he was discharged because he injured his ankle, broke his ankle in a parachuting or paratrooper incident, and he got his honorable discharge.
Right.
Turns out, in medical papers that were released in the book, Room of Mirrors by Charles Gross, we find out that Jimi Hendrix was released from the Army because it wasn't necessarily an honorable discharge, but wasn't a dishonorable discharge because he kept explaining to his psychiatrist over and over again that he was homosexual. He was having fantasies about other men in his platoon, I guess. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And he couldn't stop frantically masturbating, thinking about the guys in his platoon.
Do you think it was just an excuse to get out?
I understand you're hoping that that's the case, and that's probably the look on your face of just like, no, come on, Rode, come on, no, you're...
I don't really care, but...
Yeah,
It's pretty weird.
I would tend to think it's not a thing you would generally just come out with, like, oh, God, I can't stop jacking it because these guys are so hot around me.
But think it's an excuse to get out of the...
Probably, yeah. Most likely. Although, hey, he was a freak, too. Who knows? Maybe he did like dudes and he needed to bone and wiggle himself while thinking about him.
Whichever way you can get it, I guess.
Exactly. He was so essentially, what we're saying then, if we don't think that he's either, you know, a raging sex fiend that can't stop masturbating about the dudes that he's hanging out with... with squirrels, or he was the original clinger, trying to get his way out of the army.
Clinger never got out,
but he tried.
Yeah.
Well, clinger did actually at the end when the war was over, right?
Yeah.
But I guess everyone did, for that matter.
And then he worked at the army hospital in Mesh again, or something.
I never saw that. I'm gonna do a little childhood flashback if I can for you here.
Go for it.
When was MASH on the air? A long time. When did MASH go off the air? Like 84?
Something like that.
5?
Most watched last episode ever? Still?
Everyone in the world watched the last episode of MASH. Except for me.
I know I did.
I wanted to watch the last episode of MASH.
Were you being punished?
I got a punishment assignment from school that day, and my mom wouldn't let me watch the last episode of MASH. And because it was a punishment assignment that I got, like, I had to write, like, I'm a jerk 100 times or something like that. It was something along those lines. I got in trouble in school, as I had a tendency to do in those days. Because my mom knew it was something that I'd want to see later, she wouldn't record it on the VCR. As you know, just to really enforce my punishment.
You had a VCR in 84?
Absolutely. Yeah, the VCR that had the cable running from the VCR to the thing, the remote control that way. Absolutely.
I had that one still until the 90s, remember? With the big Fisher-Price buttons on it. The top load one.
I had that one until the 90s, too, but it's my parents got it. My parents, you know, my mom and my stepdad were always about getting the highfalutin electronic devices, even though we lived in a horrible neighborhood and couldn't afford... I mean, if they would have spent as much money on getting us into a nicer neighborhood as they did on on buying electronics for the house as much as they did on the Betamax. We would have moved out of the horrible slum in Brooklyn that I lived in way earlier.
You had Beta?
No. We had regular VHS tape. But, we had the VCR, and she refused to tape the final episode of MASH. And to this day, I've never seen it. And I think I got to download that someplace. I think I got to go to the Museum of Radio and Television. Television and Radio?
And I think Television and Radio, I think.
I think I'm going to go there and sit down and watch the final episode of MASH.
Bring a lot of tissues. You're going to need it.
It's really a tearjerker?
I really don't remember anything about it.
I hear, ironically, that Father Mulcahy goes deaf, I think.
Okay.
Dude, you saw it. Come on, please help me. I need to know.
Dude, I saw it over 10 years ago.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember what
the
I'm doing.
The MASH series getting instant message to me. let's see. Let's check this out. Oh, man, MASH. We're really cutting edge. MASH the series. Oh, God, 1983 is when it went off the air. The show is perfect, but it comes... Oh, it's not perfect, but it comes far closer than most ever did. Wow, MASH. We're talking really current stuff tonight on the Brown Line.
Do we ever, though?
Exclusively on RadioBBQ.net. We're talking about the Oscar winners in the 70s and MASH, the final episode. And my punishment assignment, I'm a jerk 100 times.
Jamie Farr was probably one of the biggest stars on that show by the time it ended, right?
I would... think so. Yeah, didn't he have he had his own show after the MASH Now show, right?
The Far Side? No.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
I think he did have his own show. You know what? I'm thinking I'm taking just a random thought back into childhood and memories and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
In about 1984 or so, I got in trouble in Sister Matilda's class and I got sent home saying that I had to rewrite 3 chapters of a book. This punishment assignment that I had to do coincided with the Bruce Springsteen Born in the USA tour that my mother had tickets for, and I never got to go see that either. Sucks to be punished all the time and not get to go to stuff.
Yeah, really. I never really got that. Explains the way I am.
You got punished?
No, not really.
I did. I got punished a lot. We're not very different, though.
No, I know.
So I don't think it explains the damn thing.
Your mom had a lot more energy than my parents were old.
My mom will... talk about energy. I'm just thinking of random times, like my mom chasing me around the house looking to fight with me and me feeling bad for her because she couldn't catch me, so I just stopped and let her catch me to beat me up. Just, you know, random childhood memories.
That must have been fun.
Yeah, good stuff. On the Brown Lodge, exclusively on RadioBBQ.net.
Childhood memories.
You can check us out on the AOL Instant Messenger at the Brown Lodge, as many of you are. You can check out our chat room. The radio station's chat room, that is, Radio BBQ Chat. Also, check out our website, thebrownlodge.com. You can check out the cam portal, which I just had to adjust my camera to make sure I was dead center, because I am vain as all hell. You can go to the portal, and you can check us out. You can also go to the archive pages and page and check out some of our old shows. Lots of magical things, lots of magical treats. Check out RadioBBQ.net as well. Check out all the other shows. We've got a lot of great friends out there, DJ Newstyle, Eric Ryan... you got to check out, I should say Eric's Archives would be the show name. You should check out The Asylum. You should check out The Indigo Chicken, my favorite delicious dish, even though they call their show The Indigo Kitchen. Insanity with Bethany Nova, Dan Wright when he's the head grill master out there.
Did you say the music that Mikey likes?
The music that Mikey likes is like pretty much a constant, like every day. You can find some good stuff to check out. It's just a good time. Lots of good things. Lots of good stuff here going on at the BBQ. If I forgot anyone's show, I'm sorry, I'm a jerk. I'm just randomly coming up with a couple off the top of my head. Oh, you know, Ogre's got his show coming back. Fantasy football magic happening. Things are exciting. Yeah. Good stuff. You know. It's an emotional mess. What's up?
I got to sign up.
You got to sign up for the big sports contests? Yeah. It's you know, I understand you're a big sports... you're not into the sport so much as you're into the cheering for it.
I just like the crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, for the wave.
As long as we're talking about sports and your love of sports, I just wanted to bring up something. Approximately 1 week ago, actually a little less than a week ago, on Thursday, there was a sports contest here involving the New York Metropolitans, and a fly ball came into the outfield, and Carlos Beltran, phenom, stud, superstar, who's actually not living up to the hype so far, but you know, having a good year, starts has a beeline on a ball and runs face first towards it. And on the other side of him...
Yeah, they almost took each other's heads off.
on the other side of him, another young gentleman. I'm losing my
mind.
I'm forgetting if it's Mike Cameron, right? I'm losing my mind. Was running full speed at the same time. Hey, wait, whose voice was that? Running full speed at him, and they crashed face to face. A couple of silver spoons. And Mike Beltran missed a couple of days. Actually, he's still missing days, but he's supposed to be coming back into the lineup this week. And Mike Cameron had facial surgery last week to repair, like, broken orbital bone and cheekbone and all sorts of horrificness. It was, I heard a lot of people talking about the injury. I didn't actually see it happen. It was a day game, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, 100K? It was a day game.
It was
a
Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, it was an afternoon.
How you doing, little buddy?
I'm fine.
You don't seem fine. You seem like an angry, angry man right now that just stumbled into the room.
No, I'm just tired.
What are you tired of?
Working.
Dude, don't work. It's overrated. But so this got me thinking, this whole thing. You think this is going to be a bad idea? You think the whole show's going to
crash? No, I just kept on clicking over the GUI server, and I was like, no, don't click on that.
Oh, okay. Sorry, computer talk here on the Brown Lodge. Whee! But, so this horrible accident, I heard a lot about it during the day. I finally saw the video footage of it. Pretty horrific. Not as bad as it was hyped up to be, because I was also expecting his head to fall off when I saw it. It was awful. But it got me thinking.
You were midair, man.
Yeah, I know. It was pretty bad news. Obviously, the dude broke his entire face, you know. As I'm watching this whole thing, it got me thinking about sports injuries and stuff of that ilk and of that like. Are there any specific sports injuries that stick out in your head or things like that? I mean, I know you're a big sports junkie, but are there any sports things that you're really intrigued by that you could think of that pop to mind?
Stephon Marbury and Jason Williams.
Stephon Marbury and Jason Williams.
When they were
about?
Both on the Nets. Probably the last game Jason Williams ever played.
Please?
They got tangled up underneath the net and wrapped each other's legs around each other and just both fell and, like, broke their legs.
They both broke their... I did not see that
Jason
at all.
Williams was a lot worse off than Marbury.
He had to go kill his limo driver because of the whole thing.
but Marbury ran out onto the Marbury's mother ran out onto the field. And all you could see is this big fat woman saying, "Where's my son? Where's my baby?" And then,
"Where's my baby? And where's his legs?"
It's the best thing in the world when Marbury is like getting up and he's all messed up and he's looking around, and then he turns and he sees her standing on the court next to him, and he turns around and you see him out the words, "Oh, come on, mama."
It's like what is it, like the Chunky Soup commercials when with Donovan McNabb and his mom. Or was it Donovan McNabb with his mom, or was it Michael Strahan with his mom? Everybody with their mom.
Yeah,
that's
a Chunky Soup thing. Yeah, and even though I think the lady from the principal from City Guys played two of their mothers. Pretty sure Miss Noble.
Unbelievable. So that's a fine injury, I suppose. I'm gonna have to look into that. So I did a little web search and started looking up some injuries and things like that. Are you familiar with the Jason Kendall injury? Catcher of the Pirates, if I'm not mistaken.
Was that the one that happened a while back? Oh, no, that was Johnny Estrada and Troy Glaus I was thinking of. Well,
yeah, Jason Kendall's was like late 90s. I don't remember the exact date off the top of my head, and the web search that I had earlier didn't give it to me. It was like 90-something, 98, 99, 97, 90, somewhere. But, running to first base, his leg just disintegrated underneath him as he ran.
Remember when Dave Dravecki's arm cracked?
No.
Yeah, Dave Dravecki had cancer, and his arm cracked when he threw a pitch, and all you hear is... that definitely didn't sound like me thumping a microphone. All you hear is... something like that. It sounded like a bat.
It's a hit!
Yeah. It sounded like a bat hitting a ball, but it was actually a shoulder blade cracking.
Yeah, I looked... obviously, the one that I was waiting for was, as long as you're talking about hearing that crack, was... I don't remember if it was a Sunday night game or a Monday night game, where big LT Lawrence Taylor decided that Joe Theismann's leg would look better in a couple of pieces.
Yeah, I never saw that. Heard about it. Never saw that? Nope. I've never even seen a replay of it.
Oh, my God. Do you know, to this day, Joe Theismann still hasn't seen a replay of it. He just can't stand to watch it. I guess, I don't know, feeling your leg break in a million pieces probably would make you not want to see it again.
By the way, his name is pronounced Theismann.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. His name was pronounced Theismann. But his agent told him his name was pronounced Theismann when he was in college.
I seem to remember hearing that story. I probably told it to Paul McGuire 400 times on that stupid telecast. That's dull as all hell. Stupid F's.
I can't wait for football to be here.
We had Monty on earlier, and we were talking about football starting to come, and Runner obviously was over the top because he gets crazy with the game, but. Yeah, we got sidetracked talking about a couple other things. Yeah, I'm pretty juiced up. It's not 20-something days away. I was keeping track last week.
I watch the Falcons play in Tokyo, and that's it. I won't watch preseason now until the
preseason's
first week.
Preseason
kind of kills the whole mystique of football being back.
The mystique, like it's a mystery. You wonder what game they're going to try this week.
I wonder what's going to happen in this television program. I don't watch it. I try not to watch preseason football.
By the way, I'm getting an instant message about when we're talking about sports injuries. Jerry Rice in the Super Bowl. Jerry Rice in the Super Bowl?
That would be against the Bengals, I guess, right?
What, he hurt himself? He broke something? I don't remember Jerry Rice ever having any sort of major injury in the in a Super Bowl.
Oh, Jerry Rice.
Yeah, Jerry Rice, the best receiver of
Didn't
all time.
He
get
really hard in like the Bengals Super Bowl, but like.
The Bengals Super Bowl, you're talking about like 81, 82?
I think it was 88 I'm thinking of.
Oh, with the icky shuffle?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's not 81. Really, I was thinking of the Kenny Anderson Bengals Super Bowl. Sorry, I didn't mean to get sidetracked there. I don't know. I don't remember Jerry Rice. I got to find some Jerry Rice injuries now. It's making me intrigued. Other ones I came up with, I found a great picture of a rugby player by the name of Craig Fitzgibbon, who was apparently some sort of legendary rugby player, running around with his finger hanging, like, literally entirely off, that it was just the skin that was holding the bone still there, but it wasn't holding it there. I mean, it's a finger, granted, it's not that major of an issue compared to, like, dudes with legs snapping and bolts going in, but it was pretty awful picture. Dave Bust. Familiar with Dave Bust, right? The guy with the unluckiest name in all of football.
What happened to him?
He busted his leg in a game. He was involved in like a five-way tackle. It was pretty bad news. But like I said, his leg—it's just the picture is really horrific. It's all bent up, and you just see the back of his shirt say BUSST. Bust.
Well, what about earlier this year? Matt Clement from the Boston Red Sox got hit with a batted ball, and he had blood pouring down his face. But it reminded me of Brooke Fordyce, I think, who was a guy who was a pitcher that came up through the Mets organization. And I'm pretty sure Brooke Fordyce got hit in the face with a ball that just...
I'm sorry. I just got the line of the night. I want him to call up and do it himself. DJ New Style talking about sports injuries, the best sports injury ever. Jim Abbott, his birth. For those of you who don't know, Jim Abbott had a birth defect that he only had one arm.
He had a stump.
Half of a stump.
He had one hand and a stump.
Yeah, he looked like Def Leppard's drummer, basically.
There's a better baseball story, though. It's just way long ago. There was a guy named Pete Gray that had one arm, and the other thing just ended at the shoulder. Like, so there was no stump, no nothing. He was just one arm.
What did he play?
Baseball.
Position-wise.
I honestly don't remember. I know he wasn't a pitcher. I don't know, but he had to play the field. I don't know what he did, though. Man. I remember seeing... there was a movie about him.
The Natural?
Like on ABC. Yeah, something like that. I think it was called Major League. It was like but I remember just a picture of him swinging the one arm with the bat.
Oh, man. I gotta be
swinging the one arm with the bat. That was my sports review. That was my sports report.
Sports review. Yeah, honestly, I still have tears in my eyes. That was my favorite line ever. That just totally cracked me up. Well, Jason Kendall, I have it. Joe Theismann's
leg exploding.
Yeah, so
Matt Clement, though, reminded me. Brooke Fordyce got cracked in the face with a ball, and it caused a bunch of blood to pour down his face. I started thinking maybe Brooke Fordyce was the guy. I don't know what Brooke Fordyce did, if he was a pitcher or a catcher. But
the name doesn't even.
But there was a guy named Billy Swift that was on the Mariners and the Giants, and somebody hit the ball off his face, and it went off of his head and over the side railing into foul territory. That was pretty good.
Who was the guy?
Didn't Robinson Cano get like a shot like to the helmet? It's knocked his helmet off. Yeah, it was nasty.
This.
And then after that, he like foul one off into like in one at bat.
In one ear and out the other.
In one bat, in one bat from the same pitcher, he fouled it off his knee. Looked like he was gonna pass out. Then got up and then did another one when he actually got hit off of the, like the inner leg and then his elbow or something like that. It was nasty. In two at bats, he almost got decapitated.
He's a young guy. He could handle it.
Yeah, I know.
Crazy.
That headshot was nasty.
Crazy childhood memory. Talking about hitting guys with stuff. Do you remember the Dodgers versus Yankees World Series? Goose Gossage throwing a pitch at Ron Say's head. Does
yes,
that ring a bell to
that.
Anybody? And it being like everyone being like,
well,
I was shocked.
Really, well,
yeah,
obviously we were both
yeah, it was
really
like
young,
80, 81, 81
I think it was.
Yeah, him laying, and I just remember Ron Say laying on the floor for a real long time during
that.
I don't know why. Well, I mean, because he just said someone got hit in the head. That would be why. But yeah,
and there was a guy named Torres too, Mike Torres. I think I don't know if he hit the guy or if he's the guy that got hit, but he was blinded. Somebody was blind. Mike Torres blinded somebody, I think. Yeah, I don't know.
It's a real uplifting story. Dude.
Curtis Pride was deaf.
Did you ever get hit with a baseball that, you know, got fouled off or anything? It is a rough experience.
I had someone that was pitching a ball. How about this? Pitching a tennis ball. Skip off the ground underneath me and catch me in the nads. My ball blew up to the size of an orange. It was the most horrendous feeling in the world. So, I've never been hit with a real ball, but I've been hit with a tennis ball.
Hey, New Style's on the phone. You want to see?
What are we going to see?
See if he's there. Hello?
I bet he is.
You think?
Yo.
It's
the
DJ.
Brown of the Berry. What's going on, fellas?
Brown of the Berry, the sweet of the lodge. It's our friend DJ Newstyle. What's going on, brother?
The sweet of the lodge. What's going on? How you doing tonight, fellas?
We're having
I understand you're talking about sports injuries.
We're having a terrific evening discussing Joe Theismann's broken leg, Jim Abbott's birth, you know, all the important things that have happened in sports injuries in the world.
Yeah, I do think that Joe Theismann getting whacked far trumps Jim Abbott's birth. I mean, he did throw a no-hitter, and that's far better than getting your leg crunched by a coked-up Negro.
These things happen, you know.
Who hasn't had that done to them?
I was going to say, if I had a nickel for every coked-up Negro that's thumped me and cracked me something, you know, I'd have...
Yeah, I'm going to get a cable special in Ryan because I walked to the deli and I looked at someone's shoes the wrong way.
Yeah, that same image I could see over and over again. The moment, like, you see the tension in the leg and see it start to stretch and start to bend and start to bend, and then snap, it just gives. One of the worst. I should have brought some audio clips of this stuff. Maybe I'll try and get them for Wednesday's show.
Jamal Anderson, that was pretty bad too. His leg, because his leg just stayed like the lower portion below the knee just kind of stayed, and the rest of the body's kind of falling and twisting, but like his leg is just staying up in the same position.
Yeah, I don't know where this one's gonna take your bit, but I think I have the number one sports injury of all time.
Please, by all means.
Owen Hart.
You know,
Sid Vicious breaking the leg coming off the turnbuckle.
Sid Vicious jumping was pretty bad, but he's alive.
Yeah, if you're gonna mention turnbuckles, I think Owen Hart's the worst.
Yeah, the moment that death is the end of it, it kind of trumps everything else.
But we didn't get to see that.
I remember that pay-per-view. This is like that brief period where I was like really into wrestling. I'd watch it actually, and I remember the pay-per-view. They were like, everybody was horrified, like, oh my god, Owen Hart's dead. Oh my god! And I look over at this one kid, and he's like, holy shit, Owen Hart's the Blue Blazer.
What a shocker. That was the heartbreak. I thought it was just the Blazer that died, but Owen Hart too?
They ruined the mystery.
Yeah, in all honesty, I remember that. I remember that being, I remember being a little freaked out about it. I was never a huge, huge Owen Hart fan. I know everyone, I mean...
That was during the times we were watching pay-per-view.
I was watching it live. I watched it. I watched the whole thing happen, and... did you show up at my house right after it happened, and when you walked up, I was telling you already that he died? Is that what happened?
I watched it with Rich, and I remember just us being like,
Rich, okay.
Why did it just pan to the announcers? And like the looks on like JR's face and Jerry Lawler's face, is just like, and they kind of...
Yeah, JR's face finally straightened out.
Yeah. It was
this
sad.
This is the worst slobber knocker ever.
The worst was that they tried to carry on, and everybody was a wreck, and like Deborah's trying to go through her shtick, and
Deborah
she's
and
a disaster.
So what happened?
Jeff
he got
Jarrett.
Killed in the ring.
You don't know about Owen Hart?
I just don't remember. But I thought he died of a drug
overdose. He had this feathery Blue Blazer costume on, and they were lowering him into the ring.
Yeah, he was
Kansas City.
That's the thing.
He raised up his arms or something like that, and one of the feathers caught the switch on the harness. Just see ya.
I didn't know that it went that far. I didn't know that he actually started his descent. I thought it was while he was waiting to come down before it actually happened was the way I understood it. But I also didn't pay very close attention.
I thought he was supposed to jump before he was hooked up. And that's why he was hooked up.
No, I think it might, there was some suing of a faulty switch and who knows. Which brings me to my next point.
It's a rough. Could you imagine the kids in the audience watching that? I've never seen any video of it. I guess it's not out there.
I'm sure.
It's like there's one kid out there who still believes, like, no, he's not the Blue Blazer, man.
Ornard's still
alive. Like, they had to pull off the costume. It's like when you find out there's no Santa.
Or Santa breaks his neck falling from your
roof. I love that the selling point of it is the fact that people are finding out that it's real, not that a person's dead. It's great.
Well, yeah. I mean, he wasn't dead right then. I mean, he's gonna be, but I mean,
yeah, see, I don't know.
Kids just had to be horrified.
Yeah.
They're like, I told you it's real, Dad. You just called them faggots and said they were faking it.
He's falling kind of fast, Dad.
If I remember correctly, they continued the event, and in that corner, there was a blood stain in the corner.
He hit his face on the turnbuckle, the pole, the metal pole, and snapped his whole neck.
For any of you who think that the turnbuckle's not hard, that's
I believe in the steel pole.
Yeah, it was the pole, it wasn't the turnbuckle
itself?
It was
the
pole.
I remember Buff Bagwell having a really bad ring injury that
I realized it was real
when the show was delayed for an hour and a half.
Yeah, he almost broke his neck. He almost broke his neck in the ring.
Wasn't that
trying to do his finishing move, the Buff... I love Buff.
Wasn't it like Chris Benoit's fault? Not Chris Benoit,
no,
that other
Rick Steiner.
Dude. Yeah, yeah.
It was Rick Steiner's fault. He gave him a suplex and he snapped it too hard, whatever, and almost broke his neck doing it. He blasted him. I thought it was he was doing his finisher, the Buff Blockbuster. By the way, Buff Bagwell was one of my favorite wrestlers for the longest time.
You love all the super cocky wrestlers.
Yeah, to the point that for a good portion of my life, Buff, B-U-F-F, was my password for my ATM card, was my password for everything, because I love Buff Bagwell. He's the best.
Okay, now I'm just remembering one, and I can't remember the guy's name. He's like a white, blonde-haired guy that D'Lo Brown broke his neck.
Oh, that's Draws. The Draws. Darren Drozdorf.
On that running powerbomb.
Running
right?
powerbomb. Dropped him on his neck and broke it. And he's in a wheelchair to this day. He's a former.
I'll tell you what. We know who won that match.
Okay. Who's laughing?
There's no greater equalizer than the neck snapping.
Yeah.
I figured you were gonna go with the other N word.
Hey, come on.
Sorry.
The Draws used to be a pro football player before that, most popularly known. He was a Denver Bronco, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so.
Most popularly known for on Monday Night Football being so nervous and so excited that he puked into his helmet on TV. Hence, he got the nickname Puke.
Did he put the helmet back on?
I believe so. And now his nickname is I Can't Walk. But,
Crip. Wheels.
Oh, no. Speaking of, did you see Murder
Baby
Ball yet?
Steps.
No, I haven't. You have it already?
Well, I told you. I wait for things to come out on cable like a year later. I'm psyched for Murder Ball, though, when it comes around
to cable.
I figured
you bought a bootleg or something.
I don't buy bootlegs since that woman got arrested a couple blocks from our house.
Oh.
Hey, now.
Hey.
These things happened. Wrestling. I remember the day after Owen Hart died, going into work, and I worked in a corporate sector at that point for an international telecom company, fairly big company.
Fancy.
And I walked into work, and the vice president of the field operations division, which I was a part of, came over to my desk and just said, "Dude, I'm really sorry," because I'd been the jerk who'd come into work carrying my championship belt and stuff like that, and like they knew I liked wrestling. It was just an odd, weird memory just to think of.
Hold on. You were the office LARPer even then.
I was LARPing as a dude. Don't even get me started.
You're like the LARPer of modern day times.
The thing is, I was LARPing. I wasn't LARPing, but I will admit 100% to probably the single most embarrassing thing I've done in my life that was not going to ever be discussed on the show, not for my own reason, just because I didn't think it'd be interesting. I didn't live action role play back then. I used to online wrestling role play back then.
Get out of here.
What would you even call that?
Online wrestling?
Okay.
I'm going to suplex you now. Click, click, clack, click, enter.
Suplex.
LOL.
Suplex activated.
So just so you guys understand.
All right, seriously?
The whole concept behind this is something called...
He's going to do his finishing move, the Control-Alt-Delete! Get out of the way!
My computer crashed!
I've got to be 100% honest with you. I actually wrestled against a dude whose finishing move was the blue screen of death. His name was Gigahertz.
You've got to be fucking joking.
Okay,
seriously.
100%
you've got to be kidding me.
He's more of a cyber-thief.
A new pinnacle of
a new low for geekdom for me right here. Okay, 100% honest. This thing was called e-fetting. There were hundreds upon hundreds of these e-federations of people who made believe they were professional wrestlers and would.
When you had a tag team match, did you have to alt tab?
Okay, dude. How about I can go to the webcam right now and show you the tattoo of the name of my E Federation's
crew.
Get the
fuck out of here, dude.
I got news for you.
No, serious.
A certain one. It's really not that funny, dude. All right. A certain 100K that is in the room with me right now could lift up his arm and show the same tattoo on his arm with his wrestler's name. Dude, I understand it's the geekiest, gayest, creepiest thing that human beings could do, but it was so much effing fun at the time.
I'll do it if we can get them in the webcam.
You know what? At the end of the show, that's what our webcam pick for the week will be. Pictures of our wrestling names. Yeah, it was...
100K, you have some bizarre tattoos.
I'm sorry. I can't buy that you'd actually permanently put ink on yourself to signify that you're a member of an e-wrestling group.
Well,
a chat room wrestler.
First of all, dude,
it was the Cobra symbol and a Decepticon symbol.
For the record, it was done on a message board, not in a chat room, first of all. But,
so
he has Hello Kitty tattooed on his arm.
It's almost like playing chess with a guy in Russia. Like, you get the letter, it's like, oh, he took my queen.
In all seriousness, the tattoos had a lot more to do with like friends, just with a group of boys just like hanging out and getting like a similar tattoo, more than it had to do with the E-Fed thing. It just so happened that the E-Fed thing kind of tied into it, because a lot of the dudes that we did this online wrestling crap with didn't get the tattoo or didn't have anything to do with it. It was just about a couple of friends that got matching tattoos like homos, basically.
Did Jared Downs get MVP on it?
So let's say you're getting pinned, okay? You're getting pinned,
okay.
and there's a whole thread on you getting pinned. Do you hit page up and hold it until maybe you like hold out hope and fight the guy off? Or how do you get out of a pin move?
You're really big on hotkeys,
aren't
you?
It was more... This is the thing. Our fate was more in the hands of... What was the leader of the E-Fed, the Decider? I guess he would be the equivalent of the DM.
Are you talking about the Diamond Stud, Nick Diamante, former E-Federation wrestler, then E-Federation administrator?
On a weekly basis, we would have to submit our role play to him, and then on strength of originality or, you know, whatever his determining factors were, it would be the night of the big card, and slowly at 8 o'clock on Sunday night or whatever, like each match would come out, and like you would wait to see like whether or not you won the match or not, and it was a whole scripted thing.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. The whole story is like exactly as 100K put it. You would write your interviews, your vignettes, your little blurbs that would appear on the wrestling show, and in your interviews it would be done in whatever format that you wanted. It was basically creative writing and someone judging it, if you really think about it. Honestly, it was
fan fiction.
It was fan fiction, but about characters that you invented.
The best is that when somebody would use a real wrestler, we would get so mad and hate them. Like, what a loser this guy is. Because seriously, like, at least be a little original. You know, you're going to come in and say, like, it's this guy fighting this guy. And, oh, I'm Diamond Dallas Page. And
I'm Macho Man 87, LOL. Who's the faggot who taps out in e-wrestling?
That was a whole issue that I had. I actually wound up getting into fight with one of the E-Federation guys that I was with, because my character was never, you know, I didn't want him to ever tap out, and he made me submit a bunch of times. It really hurt my feelings. I didn't care if I lost the match.
My wrestler never spoke.
Sometimes
wait,
it's better if they don't.
Wait, you mean which? Your wrestler? You had a couple of wrestlers, my friend. I only rocked one character the entire time that I was E-Federation wrestler.
What was your character's name?
My gentleman's name was Jack Backstreet Suede. Otherwise known as...
Get the fuck out of here.
Otherwise known as the biggest biceps on Backstreet, the Legend Slayer.
What year this was that you picked the name Backstreet?
Probably about 96, 97 is where it started.
So pretty much at the height of the Backstreet Boys popularity.
Oh absolutely. That was the entire drive behind it. In all honesty, if you really want to know, the history behind it is because I thought that Michael Hayes, former member of the Freebirds, song Bad Street USA was the coolest thing in the world, so I was just doing a play on Bad Street.
I like the cheesiest song.
Bad Street, Atlanta, GA.
You like Shawn Michaels' song?
Shawn Michaels' song is the sexiest.
I hate him for the reason of the fact that his song is so gay, his entrance is so gay, his outfit, the
he's just a sexy boy. He's
chaps.
Not your boy toy.
Hands off the merchandise there, Ronner.
It's good stuff. But, yeah, so we would write these little interviews, and based on what we said in our interviews, what they thought, we would start up rivalries with certain wrestlers, and then we would have crews that got together, our crew, of course, being the MVP. We had many battles with the KWO, the Clat World Order.
I hate those guys.
Yeah, honestly,
to this day, I still hate those
day,
guys.
To this day, Travis and
Trent.
Travis and Trent Clat. I can't even believe that talking about this.
Every guy, I
hate to keep interrupting you, but you have to realize that, you know, on the internet there are gay dating sites, and this e-wrestling is perhaps gayer than that.
Thank you.
In all honesty,
it might be the gayest thing on the internet.
In all honesty, you're overstating the obvious. I acknowledge the gayety of it. I acknowledge the pure faggotiness of simulated homoerotic sport, like that, because wrestling itself is homoerotic. Like we're making believe we're faggies doing this. You know, we're doing this faggy sport. It was honestly the most homo, creepiest thing in the world. It makes my Dungeons and Dragons and my LARPing, which I don't do, but I go to by the way, Renaissance Festival is happening right now. We got to arrange a trip.
Yes.
Yeah, all that stuff. This is the creepiest, worst thing ever. But when I read that I had won the DOA Pro Heavyweight Championship of the World, I lost my mind and ran around the house holding my plastic championship belt in my hand, screaming to my then-girlfriend, now wife, "I can't even believe I did it, baby. I can't believe I did it." And she was looking at me saying, okay, great. So I was like, "You don't understand." So I went downstairs and I called 100K and I started explaining to him, "Dude, I know it's so retarded that I'm so psyched about this, but I am so juiced that I'm the DOA Pro Champion. I know this is gay." And I remember that in the conversation, 100K saying to me, "Dude, you got to understand. You're saying it's kind of gay, but, you know, it's kind of like almost more important than really winning a wrestling title, because it's not like a booker decided this. This was on your own skill that this happened." I remember this conversation like it was yesterday.
I'll stick by those words.
I like the fact that you, like, "I can't believe I did it, baby." Like, you just beat, like you won a gold medal or you won the Tour de France.
Yeah, no, like I did something other than write
anything.
A paragraph.
If you actually got the order right at a sandwich place. They got pumpernickel, and I asked for pumpernickel, baby.
Yeah, pumpernickel.
If you had won a writing contest, though, that would be something people would say you could have legitimately be psyched about. And it's really the same thing.
Except for the fact that it's being judged by some 19-year-old kid from Canada, and it's a stupid wrestling story that we're doing. No matter how much I want to try and defend it as being somewhat cool, there's nothing even remotely cool about it. I love doing it. To the point
you can't, because you actually said, "I'm so juiced about this. I did it. I am the champ." Like, you actually, like, you were picturing yourself that you're standing in, like, the middle of a ring, and you're just flexing your arms, looking around. There's legions of fans out there. That alone puts you in that little schoolboy dream world, which is so faggy at an adult age. I'm sorry.
Dude, it's pathetic. There's nothing I can say to defend it. It's pathetic.
I would just like to bring up a memory of when you and I and a couple of friends of ours went to SmackDown. And children were screaming at you and throwing things. You were standing up and waving your Kurt Angle medal.
I was working.
At the height of his hatred.
Hold on one sec. I just wanted to be understood. I was working the Backstreet Magic.
One kid yelled at you a line I will never forget. "Have another hamburger, fatty." And people were laughing all over the place. You stood up and you went down the aisle when we were going to get beer, and they were booing you. They were booing you.
It was fantastic.
Hey, you know what we did, buddies? You just turned into the ultimate heel. I just turned face.
in all honesty, this when we went to this event, it was years after e-wrestling. I didn't do it anymore, but I will say that I definitely had a huge amount of satisfaction knowing that, without exaggeration, there were probably between 200 and 300 people all really annoyed at me because
they
I was cheering
you.
For someone in a ring. Yeah.
You were standing up and pointing to your medals like you won them.
Fifth grade classroom.
Yeah, oh, it was great. Dude, I actually have, I started snapping pictures of the people and I have a picture of one of the girls flipping me the bird. It was hilarious. But, you know, that's a different story. We're talking about working crowds. I just want you to understand, I'm the one and only DOA Pro Heavyweight Champion of the world. I'm the two-time MWCW Heavyweight Champion of the world. I am the XCWF, one half of the XCWF Tag Team Champions of the world, and no one, and I mean no one, can take that away from me. So take that, Crystal Clear, Cody Covington. Take that, Travis and Trent Clatt, and take that, Wolf Nebula.
Oh my God! Seriously, did you put that on your resume that you're the DOA champion of the world?
How do you think I got my job that I got now? The DOA Pro Heavyweight Championship of the world. Yeah, it's,
we need to poll your listeners. Who is cooler, Lumberchris or the DOA champ Backstreet? Whatever the hell your name is. Backstreet Suede?
Jack Backstreet Suede. The biggest biceps on Backstreet.
Woo!
Yeah! Oh, I wish the Yeehaw guy would call
it. Online man! We gotta beat the online man! Woo!
Coming at you, brother!
You know...
Yeah, no one's typing faster than Backstreet Suede.
No, the thing is, Backstreet wasn't about the typing being quick. It was more about the size of my font. it was honestly, thinking about it, I acknowledge how horrible it was, but it was a golden age. We were the kings of the world for a short period of time. The MVP ruled e-wrestling, and I don't care. And that's all I'll say about that.
Hell yeah, I had a manager.
Your manager was...
Skinny Baxter.
Let us know if there's any way we can possibly read some of this stuff.
Okay, I got news for you. If you remember some of the earlier shows that we've done on... here on Radio BBQ, my buddy Dino, my buddy Vito, actually, excuse me, came in one of the earlier weeks when Runner was stuck at work. Vito was my tag team partner. Vito, I call him Dino all the time because his wrestling name was Dino Del Sante.
The Cornerstone.
Yeah, the Cornerstone, Dino Del Sante. And he and I, the MVP, the name MVP originated from the fact that we were managed by someone we called Socko Malicious Jones.
Oh, God. And, Socko Jones was your manager?
Not in real life. Yeah. We just used his name and told him we were using
his name. Yeah, I got the one and only DOA champion. My name's Sacagawea Jones.
No, not Sacagawea. It's Socko Malicious Jones. But the thing is...
Malicious. Y'all gonna get sacrilegious with Sacamalicious Jones.
I think I like Sacagawea better.
But Malicious, you know, was his nickname, if you will, and our tag team was called Vain and Pain. So hence Malicious's Vain and Pain, the MVP. Just so you know. So I was at Vito's house this week helping him move some furniture and whatnot, and he comments to me, you know, I found a bunch of old role plays and old cards. If you want to check them out,
they weren't role plays. They were events.
No, the role. You want
to take your pants off and sit on the castle? We just moved in here. You know, read some role play transcripts. You know, maybe I touch you.
Hey,
touch
bro, me, you know? Sit down next to me.
Yeah, no, vein pain. I'll touch the vein. You know, create some pain.
I'll spot you, is just what he said the whole time. Let me spot you.
Spot you. We'll get Sack of Malicious in here. We'll have some coffee. We'll be naked. And no one's got to know except your listeners on your radio show.
Yeah, it's
I'll
odd.
Hold you down for the 30 count.
It's odd because I know this is. Good. Five count like King Kong Bundy. I found it to be a pretty embarrassing thing, but I didn't think that any of the listeners would find this even remotely interesting for whatever reason. That's why I never brought it up before. I have no shame about anything I've done in my life. I'm more than happy to talk about it. It just seemed like such a throwaway thing. Like, oh, he was gay and he used to do stupid wrestling.
How do you think that's throwaway?
I don't know. I guess, you know what? I have come in dressed in my full LARPing regalia. I forget this. You know, I maybe you guys are intrigued by this. I will go on my computer at home. I will try and find some role plays. Maybe I will post a whole section on the website of some of the old role plays. Do you have any of your old role plays?
I don't think so, because my computer crashed right around, like, after that. And
convenient, isn't it?
I honestly think that you guys should act out the role plays. Like, one of you should be, like, Sacco, Malicious, or whatever, and Chris, of course, you would play your character, because, you know, no one is the DOA champion except you. And maybe you can get your buddy on there. You just got to really give this to your listeners. It's a gift. You need to give this to your listeners.
You know what?
Retardation?
You know what? You guys always wanted to do a play. I have no problem play acting and doing my own vignette from an old wrestling thing, whatever one I could find over the next week. I'll see what Dino has, see if he has anything. I mean, to the fact that I call him Dino because that was his wrestling name. The fact that Monty, who was on the phone with us earlier tonight, calls me Suede to this day, even though he was never involved with e-wrestling. There are people that just know me as Jack Suede and don't know me as Chris. There are people who actually call me that to this day. I mean, not the people in this room, because these are the people I've known since before Jack Suede was even a thought in anyone's mind. Anyone's mind, not just mine. Anyone's mind. You know,
You just got me really riled up now, because I'm really angry, because I remember that I lost the Intercontinental title to Trent Clatt because his brother came in the ring and hit me with a chair.
Dude! You feel bad about that. How do you think I felt that I was about to lose the title to a former member of the MVP because he ran into the ring and hit me over the head in the middle of the match while I was defending my title against the Clats?
Oh, my God. All future listeners and people that just tuned in, we're describing something that they typed out on a message board. This is not actual wrestling. Groundlodge.
We actually lived it.
Yeah, in all honesty, it really was a huge thing for me, like, reading these big, huge things. And, like, I would have one match on a card, and they would print them out like essentially like you were watching Raw, and they would tell you what happens on the show. Oh, here's a commercial break. Oh, here's this interview. Here's this. Here's that. And it goes through. And you could just flip through it and go to what your match is, find out if you won or not.
I think I've read them before.
I would insist on reading from line one to the end of the card and enjoy it as if I was watching the show.
Is there some kind of deficit on girlfriends and jobs back then? I mean, like,
who
has this much time to set it up with commercials and stuff?
Okay, I got to be honest with you. I never did the cards. Like, I never ran a federation. The person who would run the federation was the person who wrote that. All I would write would be what my interview would be, which would decide whether I would get in a match or who I would fight and stuff like that. When we would get the card, you wouldn't know if you won, if you lost, how the match went, or anything like that. I will go so far as to say, though, I definitely did not have a girlfriend at the time, up until towards the end of it when I won the title, and, you know, my wife, at the, like I said, you know, I mean, she knew I was going to win the belt, so she obviously wanted to, you know, she tried to get on my gravy train.
Ladies love gold.
You know, why wouldn't they? I was a fairly, what's the word I want to use? Normally socialized individual. I was going out. I was drinking like an animal. I was partying at clubs, doing tons of cocaine. It was madness. It was a good time. I was a socialized. That's where I was. I was a very socialized guy. Just when I got home, I would have to work on my role plays and make sure that my vignettes were good for the show this week.
Is there anything wrong with that?
Dude, how else would I have gotten the heavyweight title if I didn't spend time working on it?
Well, how about, see, the best thing, though, is I have to explain this to people at times. Because, like, you have a lot of tattoos. I have three. I have a very open, on my right arm, I have a very blatant, open tattoo of Homer Simpson. Which usually leads to the next question.
You got any other tattoos?
Yes. So I have to lift up my my other sleeve on my left arm, and I have a tattoo of the sun for some reason. And right below it, I have the MVP tattoo. So, like, it says, and my name was Rex Mundi, by the way, which is Latin for King of the World. So
Rex Mundi, King of the World.
Exactly. Exactly. And so it would say MVP.
Fantastic creature.
I'd have to show everyone MVP Rex Mundi, and then, like, which leads to the next question.
What the hell is that?
Who the hell's Rex Mundi?
Yeah, what does that mean? What? And then it's like, so sometimes I'll just say, nah, nothing. Else, I don't know, some tattoo I got with some people. Like, if
that's
I don't feel like explaining, but like,
prize fighter in the 20s.
Like, sometimes I'll have to try to explain e-feds now to people.
Hold on 1 second. I want you to understand what he just said.
I didn't.
He said something like about a prize fighter from the 1920s is what he said in there. And that was always the vibe of Rex Mundi, King of the World.
Oh, yeah. Really quick background on that. There's a book called Holy Blood, Holy Grail. Basically, it's the Da Vinci Code. Before that guy wrote the Da Vinci Code, but in it they refer to Rex Mundi, meaning Latin for King of the World, and the way it was written in the book, Rex Mundi, comma, King of the World, and the thought that was always in my head from the second I read that was Rex Mundi, King of the World, like a 1920s news report or something.
That's why I just found that odd that he just said like a 1920s prize fighter just amused me. You could, but yeah, it is.
Speaking of prize fighters, Skinny Baxter, besides Rex Mundi, his other See, Skinny Baxter was originally a boxing manager, and his other wrestler in his fold was a young gentleman by the name of Sweet Sugar Black. And he was a former prize fighter as well.
Later on,
he provided the cocaine for the MVP mansion mostly, but...
I honestly don't know what exactly is real now. What's real and what's fake? What the hell are we talking about?
That was kind of where we were living at that point, that the lines between role-playing and real life kind of were fake. That we would actually have conversations about things that happened in e-feds as though they were real things fairly often. You know, a few weeks back when we were talking about doing a show and talking about doing a show about fan fiction, Runner says, dude, we're totally talking about your e-fetting on the air. It's like, I just can't imagine it's interesting. I guess I'm wrong.
I think I might start it. My name's going to be DJ the Night Terror New Style. That's going to be my e-fed name.
Nice.
And I'm gonna take over the world. I'm gonna actually capture your title.
That's you should just be DJ Night Terror.
By the way, I'm 8 feet tall, 5,000 pounds, and I can bench press a Chevy Impala and shit out ammunition.
Nice.
What's
your finisher?
That's pretty good. And I pee lasers.
That's what I do.
That's my move. Can you work me into the card? That's what I want to know.
But you have to do crunches to be able to get the work the pee up, so you have to drop down in the middle of the ring.
I got to beat the jobbers. I got to beat this guy. Just signed up as Lenny Pop of 10125. Got to beat him first. But then I'll work my way up, get the title.
You know, it's really easy to make fun from a distance. If you lived the magic that was e-fetting in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, you would have... You would have been eating
a lot of chips and crying.
I was going to say, you probably did have the option to do that. You simply chose not to because you're a human, not a geek that sits in front of a
I actually didn't know it existed, and if I had, I probably would have had a lot more laughs in my life. I probably would have printed it out and framed it, just as an example of what society should never become. I'm sorry, guys. I mean, I know this meant a lot to you because you did tattoo it on your arm.
No, again, like I say, the tattoo.
I am just fucking dumbfounded right now.
Yeah, the tattoo had a lot more to do with a bunch of boys, like you know, hanging out and having the same tattoo more than it had anything to do with the wrestling thing. But which sounds almost gayer than it having to do with the wrestling.
You
got to
come up with like a new acronym. I mean, you can't keep explaining it. Like you know, 100K just said you've got to always go into it or skirt the issue. You got to come up with some kind of acronym for MVP.
I'm telling you, I've had to explain it. Like he said, I get the same questions all the time. Who the hell's Jack Backstreet? What do you like, the Backstreet Boys? It's always the way the conversation starts. What I say is...
You should tell people that's one of the original members of the Backstreet Boys that was kicked out for being gay.
He got kicked out in the Beatles, except it was just the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah,
Backstreet Best.
The way that I explain it is, it's actually a pretty dumb tattoo, in theory, because it's, I don't know, me and a bunch of my friends used to make believe we were wrestlers, and that's what I say my wrestling name was. That's the way I explain it. I don't bother getting into the e-fed or any of that. I just let them know that's my wrestling name, and the MVP is my group of friends that all were going to be wrestlers one day. And then I distract them with the fact that I have a tattoo of Jesus with a Superman logo on his chest, and that usually distracts them enough that they forget about the whole wrestling thing.
By the way, I still owe you money for that tattoo.
Jesus?
Do you really?
The MVP tattoo. Well, the agreement was right after that, I was going to go pay for us to get tattoos. I was going to get the Mets logo, and you were going to get the Dolphins logo, and I was going to pay for it as payback. But what year did we get these tattoos?
The statute of limitations is not over on that. I'll cash in on my Dolphins tattoo this year.
What year was it really, though?
98, 99, somewhere around then.
Wow.
It had to be at least 99, because...
All I remember is we were really drunk when we got them, and it was like 11 o'clock in the morning. It was definitely like 12 o'clock in the afternoon when we went.
It was something
probably
like
a tough
that.
Bus trip from one of your E-Fed masters.
I think we got together specifically that day.
At a convention.
You know, guys, we got a big card coming this week. We got to really start working on our chops.
Everybody wear your thongs and your singlets.
Are you guys up on all your idioms? We got to really start working on our writing style. All
right, if you remember correctly.
You bring the thesaurus. I've got the dictionary.
We got
the guy that does Crimson most of the Mets. Writing. He puts you in a bra and panties match.
Everybody comes ready for a bra and panties match.
I wanted one of those so bad, it just never happened. Yeah.
Nice young.
So we got together specifically to discuss where the MVP was headed that day. Me, you, and Wolf Nebula, the third member that got the tattoo with us that day, we specifically got together. You picked me up at my house at like 10 o'clock in the morning so we could get together and discuss where the MVP was headed, because it was like a big turning point. You know, it was a crucial time for the MVP. So we got together, and then what happened is we got together, got drunk, and then we were getting tattooed within 2 hours.
Okay,
I don't think we ever actually decided where the MVP was heading, though.
I just got to be 100% honest with you. I have no shame about anything in my life. I am beet red with embarrassment right now, because I can't believe that this really happened, and it's absolutely true that we actually planned where our E-Fed careers were going.
And by the way, the third guy brought his wife along.
And she also joined the E-Fed.
Oh, God, that's right.
Mahavishnu,
beat you all.
Mahavishnu Pride. No, she couldn't be Jack Backstreet Suede.
No way.
We're not talking about real life, dude. You're blurring the lines a little too much.
Okay, so she could beat you up in real life.
Yeah, oh, in real life, she'd floor me.
Anytime you take ink and take something fake and put it on you, like MVP, like you're branding yourself with your name and your league, even though you did it as some kind of like bonding thing, weird bonding thing.
Sexy
you're
bonding.
You're kind of blurring the lines. Anybody who's got that tattoo has been blurring the lines.
No, I understand. I just
you must have been doing a lot of lines.
Without question. That's actually probably about the end of the doing the lines days. Well, a couple of years later, anyway.
You wake up in a bathroom, you look at your arm like, what the fuck is MVP?
Actually, you know, the more
who the hell is this guy? Why is his pants down?
The more I'm thinking about it.
that was a different day.
That was a fun day. Actually, by the time I got the tattoo, the drug days were over for me at that point, because I was already with my wife now, well, that at the time girlfriend.
Yeah, those definitely weren't drug days. They were
drunken.
No, come
trying
on,
to have fun.
Drunken days, drug days.
What's that? Try and save face a little bit, blame it on something. No, it was just stupid days. It was just being drunk and having
that's
fun.
That's us sober.
Yeah, you wait till you see us on coke. Hey.
If we were drunk, if we were coked up, we would have bought the tights that afternoon.
For $900, for a pair of the tights. By the
gotten
way,
gotten belts made up with your names on it.
And well, he said he came to work with a belt.
Okay, I did order
when
belt.
When did you get that belt? Actually,
I didn't. Oh, I would. So when the WCW was selling them, I absolutely bought a belt. And they had interchangeable nameplates that you could take off it, and depending on whose name you wanted on it, or you can get one made. I was eventually supposed to be getting one made for my belt. Our brother, an E-Fed wrestler himself, Jerome Downs, passed away a couple of years back, and my belt went with him when at the wake. Sorry, didn't mean to bring everything to a real uplifting note, but that's where my championship belt is now. I gave it to his parents. And I'm actually supposed to be getting a tattoo of, that's if you want to talk about tattoos, I'm supposed to be getting a tattoo of that championship belt with his name on the belt one of these days is what I'm going to be getting.
See, but nobody would ever degrade that one.
Yeah,
no, but
not so easy to make fun of e-wrestling anymore now that death is part of the story, huh?
Yeah, so Jim Abbott's got a fucked up arm.
Well,
he's got a little claw, doesn't he?
But,
he's got a claw, honestly.
But yeah, no, I did buy a belt, and I love buying the belt. I remember walking around the mall so stoked that I had the belt, throwing it over my shoulder, walking into Applebee's with it, getting myself some riblets.
10-year-old kids were so mad.
Come over to your place to watch pay-per-views, and you'd be sitting there with your championship belt on your lap and your shorts and just, and three televisions on, like a football
underwear
game.
Underwear and the belt, usually.
A football game, the wrestling pay-per-view, maybe video games on the other television, and we'd all be crammed into your garage /bedroom.
Yeah, in my bedroom in my mom's basement. let's call it what it
walking
is.
Around some dark parking lots, wearing your belt, not even looking around, because you know you got the belt on. They're going to be scared. They'll run off.
You actually pointed something huge out. We met to discuss the fate of the MVP in your room, which was in your mother's basement.
Absolutely.
You picked me up at my mother's house.
There's nothing that can be said. We were real champs of the people. We were really going far. We were the MVP. By the way, we've been sidetracked for a little bit. Just in case you've been able to make it through this and don't know what in God's name you're listening to, it's the Brown Lodge, exclusively on RadioBBQ.net. Check us out on the AOL Instant Messenger at the Brown Lodge. Check out the chat room, RadioBBQ chat. Learn about e-fetting at thebrownlodge.com. All the magic that is making believe you're a wrestler. Skype us up at RUNNDOGG or call the hotline. 718-360-1413.
And you remember Bigfoot from... I'm sorry. What's that?
718-360-1413. Bigfoot from...
The Howard Stern Show?
From certain acts as being a really creepy dude with gigantic knees.
Did he have big knees?
Yeah, he had like Lyme disease or something. He had really big...
He's dead.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Matthew McGrory.
Wasn't he from Westchester? Sorry.
I thought he's not from Canada.
No, you're right, Chris. He's from Westchester, Pennsylvania.
You know, you kind of look at the camera and then just keep walking.
Yeah.
You know, he's a little hairy.
He was filming Andre, Heart of the Giant, when he died.
No, it was good. You're on Bigfoot, the actual Sacagawea. Not Sacagawea, Sasquatch. That's what you're
Sacagawea.
On.
Sacagawea.
So you're thinking about Sacagawea.
You don't exist.
Manager of the DOA.
Yeah, no, what we're talking about is Bigfoot. He's most popular known like from Howard Stern, but where I remember originally seeing him from, which is why I brought up he being from Westchester, is on one of the original Land Speed videos, which is the original CKY, the original Jackass stuff with Bam Margera. Margera. They had...
Wasn't it called...
Oh, no, forget it.
Called what?
Landspeed.
Landspeed was the skate video. CKY was the band.
I thought I remembered it being called
something Can't
else.
Kill Yourself.
But it doesn't... I don't really know what it would have been called anyway. I don't remember.
Yeah, those are the only names.
It's okay.
But on their one of their first videos, they had a close-up of this guy working as a bouncer at a door in some bar, and you just hear them overdubbing while they're looking at this guy who's probably... 7 foot what? Just 6 foot something? What's, does it say it in his death thing there? He was gigantic. And
the deep voice, 7 foot plus actor.
Because I think he may have stolen my wrestling idea.
He was actually finishing a movie called Andre, Heart of the Giant.
Oh, no.
And,
but, well, he didn't get to.
Poor guy. Poor little fella.
A big but man.
Was he bigger than My
tiny,
Giant
tiny
that
heart.
Was on the Nets?
My Giant.
My giant,
that
guy was
really
on the Nets.
Hi, I get it. You're really tall, and you're going to be mine. You're my giant. Yeah, this is a great movie.
Oh my God, who is that?
I cannot think of the guy's name. Hold on.
Billy Crystal?
He did a bunch of NBA commercials, too.
I remember they released him a couple of years ago.
Yakov Smirnoff?
No.
Yes.
I'm on it, guys. I'm on it. It's George Mirosan.
Mirosan, yeah. Thank you. Woo! Good stuff.
George Mirosan.
Yeah,
he started as Max the. He couldn't even have a name you could pronounce in the movie. It got an honest 4.8 out of 10 on IMDb. That's stout. That's a stout rating.
Not like man. That's just freaking me out thinking about that dude, thinking about his knees, because that was the one thing that always stuck in my head out of that video. Well, the thing from Landspeed is as they're overdubbing it, as you see him there, and they go, I'm so big. I was like, it's what they're overdubbing. It was just really creepy and mean. But he's sitting, and his knees were gigantic, like way bigger than his legs. Like his joints were huge. I think he had Lyme disease or something like that.
Really? Man.
I mean, he looked like he did to me.
You can't tell he wears his clothes so bad.
Lyme disease can cause you to grow...
Yeah, it affects your joints. Lyme disease really affects your joints bad, and they get swollen and messed up, and a lot of fun. It's the disease show.
Like from a tick, Lyme disease?
Like from a tick, Lyme disease. L-Y-M-E apostrophe S disease.
Wow.
Thank you.
I didn't know that.
So don't get bit by any ticks. So you'll either get that or Rocky Mountain spotted fever, which is an awful, awful mess.
Ow.
Sorry, screeching halt. Just wanted to let you guys know about some tick diseases.
Very good, you know. It's good to know. You got to keep people informed. Yeah.
I will tell you that Jack Backstreet Swede never got bit by a tick, never had any sort of issues with anything like that, though he did have a drinking problem at one point and caused him to consider quitting the Federation, just so you guys know.
Well, I want to let you know that DJ Night Terror New Style never got even the common cold, okay? He never had chicken pox one. Okay, he's as healthy as a horse, and he'll shit ammunition on your ring.
And from what I understand, he's lasers
on you or something.
Now that you're old, when you do get chickenpox, you'll die from it.
It's really messed up, dude.
So
you know, I got the chickenpox when I was. Well, it's not him. We're blurring that line again. He's talking about the night terror. That's his alter ego.
Oh, okay.
That's one of his alter egos.
Oh, don't put me in your boat,
dude. You're the night terror. Wait, I know. I'm not going to put you in the category of someone that has an alter ego, because I know your driver's license says Mr. DJ and your last name is New Style. I understand. There's no alter egos involved anyplace in here.
Not at all.
No, I understand. Dude, I'm the last one to make fun of anybody for anything like that, though, obviously. But, you know, these...
Quite frankly, I'm hurt.
That's definitely not Ken holding that sword in that picture.
You suck. Well, I was trying to see if maybe I could throw a no-hitter, too, by maybe lopping off a limb or two, or a hand.
You gotta do... Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with it. With your samurai sword, just getting yourself all samurai'd up. Even though it was a World War II sword, if I remember correctly, but it's a samurai.
It was like a Nazi field dress saber or something.
You mean your samurai sword? You were wearing a ninja outfit in the whole thing? Wouldn't you
I was wearing my ninja robes. I was actually going to come on with some samurai outfit. I don't know.
Is the Night Terror actually a ninja of sorts?
Of course not. He's an auto mechanic. Come on, read up. You gotta catch the old threads, buddy. Check the first time.
I am so tempted to put up an Eve Wrestling Fed message board specifically on the Brown Lodge website just so we could hear what people's characters are.
I love that he's an auto mechanic.
Obviously. Like, not so much that he's an auto mechanic, that it's such a given. Like, dude, obviously he's an auto mechanic.
I mean, dude, when he comes out and he's got his 48-inch biceps, he's got a tribute to the Junkyard Dog right on it. He's got a damn near life-size tattoo of the Junkyard Dog right on his right arm.
I wonder which actual wrestlers would join the E-Fed just to try to recreate their old glory.
Oh, dude, I guarantee you a bunch of...
Nikolai Volkov.
I've got to be
100%... The Iron Sheik.
100% honest with you. About a week ago, I was talking to someone about the new WWF game coming out, and the new WWF game has an online mode where people could wrestle online. And in the conversation, the words were, dude, this is the future of e-fetting. Actually happened 100% in the conversation. At which point I said, dude, I'm married. I don't have the time for that anymore. I'm just LARPing now. I don't have the time to e-fet anymore. I have to focus on making spells.
I love pretend.
But there's nothing wrong with love and pretend. You're just as God made you, sir. Fake as can be.
By the way, I set up... There's now a Brown Lodge Survival Football League.
Ooh.
Courtesy of Yahoo. I'll post it
on
the forum.
I'll put it on the website, and we'll post it in the forum, all that sort of stuff as we hit the football. Yeah, let's try and macho it up again. Let's get away from this fantasy fake world.
Guess what? The password to join is LARPer. That's the only thing that reminded me of it.
I didn't even know it existed. You just created it now while we were doing the show?
No, I created it yesterday when I was... when I was on the phone with you and you were yelling at me for not joining the Salary Cap Football League, I went and I joined... I created...
Fantasy football. Three different fantasy football leagues I'm in. Fantasy wrestling. Fantasy LARPing. Fantasy everything. It's just a fantasy. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's not the real thing. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Sometimes a fantasy, whoa, oh, 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 is all you need. You're listening to The Brown Lodge exclusively on RadioBBQ.net. You can check us out on the internet at TheBrownLodge.com. Hit us on the AOL Instant Messenger, The Brown Lodge. Hit the chat room, RadioBBQ Chat. Skype us up at RUNNDOGG or call us on the hotline, 718-360-1413. I'm not even going to say it again. Don't even bother. I'm going to take a couple minutes and talk about some things if I can. I'm going to sidetrack and get away from this fantasy if I can just for a few minutes. We talked about the gay... we talked about the gay Jimi Hendrix. What the hell is this? Oh, Tansel Phillips and Tim Holloway. You familiar with those two guys?
Tansel Phillips is... China's brother?
almost, pretty close. Tansel Phillips was a highway patrol sergeant, as was Tim Holloway. They pulled over Ricky J. McWilliams, who was an honorary police captain or something down in Tennessee. He got pulled over on a DWI by these two guys, and based on their testimony, he kind of got off as a result of it because you know, it was a thing down there. This whole honorary badge that they were giving out down in Tennessee was kind of looked at as almost like a get out of free a jail free card, kind of like the PBA cards here in New York, but a little higher up. It was more of like a more respected get out of jail free card, as opposed to the one that sometimes a cop in New York will just look at you and tell you go scratch, and someone will say, all right, we'll grant you the courtesy. Well, these two guys kind of let this guy who was affiliated with the Democratic Party down there, they let him off on a DUI charge. Surprisingly, the Democratic governor down there this week recommended both these guys to be promoted. I think that's fair. I think that's fun. Just, you know, just a little interesting story that stuck out in my mind.
So where did this come from? Is somebody like...
The Tennessean, the newspaper that was just pointing out the fact that, you know, Tennessee is the most corrupt place in the world and they hate it. And,
I thought Jersey was the most corrupt place in the world.
Jersey's the worst place in the world.
I had a warrant for my arrest out in Jersey, and I got pulled over.
Rightfully so, you Larson.
Yeah, I got one too,
my home state again.
Protecting the homeland, they are. I had a warrant for my arrest out in Jersey, and while the warrant was out for my arrest, I was pulled over. They ran my license, and they said, all right, sir, have a good night. So I got no problems with New Jersey.
Try going back.
This was a few years ago. I would think the statute was is already gone on that. It was a silly
unlike your Dolphins tattoo.
Soon enough. It's not here yet. It'll be there soon enough. Let's see. What are some other odd things that I was thinking of?
Is this you in a samurai suit? I wanted to say, do you think that Jim Abbott's batting average is over 100? Yes or no? And then I'll leave you with I want to hear your answers.
Did he ever play in the National League, though? Because there was no interleague play.
He did. Yes.
I have something to deal with you with Newstyle just for a second. Is this picture of you in a samurai suit with a big giant sword?
You haven't been following the show at all? Don't you remember we discussed this the other night?
Really?
Dude, you had a couple of too many drinks during the show.
I guess so.
Yeah, no, we had a whole big discussion about that. It's actually a Nazi heirloom.
I thought that was the one that he was holding over his head. He's in a samurai suit in this one.
Oh, there really is one of him in a samurai suit?
Slow down. It's not passed down to me. I don't want you calling it an heirloom. Like I just inherited the Nazi bounty.
Dude, that's what you...
I picked it up in a gift store.
This is what we were talking about. You said you got it down.
You got it at your initiation.
Go up on the chat room, dude. There's a picture of him in a full samurai regalia.
You've got to be kidding me. I was talking about the samurai suit thing.
No, I remember the one with him holding it above his head. That's the sword he took home with him, the one that he treasures and loves.
It's my sword!
See?
Oh my god, I can't even believe you really are a samurai. You really love being a ninja.
You are a bizarre man.
You got some nerve talking about me being a LARPer, dude.
I speak German, man. What do you want from me, son?
So that's the reason you're wearing a Japanese samurai suit?
Yeah, that's exactly why, you son. And don't try and escape the question that was asked, okay? Don't even... Yes or no?
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking because you
asked. This is earth-shaking knowledge.
I think he has over 100.
It's not like Photoshop images of me in a ninja suit.
Yeah, it's Photoshop.
I'm going to say
that Jim Abbott's batting average would be higher than his lifetime ERA if you timesed it by 100. You know what I'm saying? Like if you move the decimal place over 2 points, I think his lifetime ERA is lower than his batting average. That's all I'll say about that.
So then he's a really good pitcher and a really good hitter.
I'm trying to avoid the question at any cost possible.
I'll say no. I think he hit 032.
I say yes.
You're going to say 032 and Rudder said yes over 100? Over
100. I'm going to say he's over a 300 hitter.
How about that? Like 108.
He's definitely not over a 300 hitter.
He's a lifetime 400 hitter. Him and Ted Williams.
He was never retired.
Two of you had
27 for 27 career. They were all home runs.
So what
I'm
going
to have to give it to 100K. He had a .095.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, he was close.
Yes.
So he got some close hits.
He definitely bumped
in. Abbott joined the Brewers in 99. He went to bat 21 times, collecting 2 hits. What kind of pitcher lets up 2 hits to Jim Abbott?
Slowy McSlowerton.
Maybe he has to like balance the bat on
a pitcher with no eyes.
You got one arm, but I got no eyes.
Maybe like Jose Canseco when he started pitching.
Oh wow.
He was a pitcher?
He did. He pitched like a few games.
No, he did not. Jose Canseco pitched.
He did. Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
Todd Zeal became a pitcher near the end of his career. Not a real pitcher, but they always started using him in games all the time. That's because he finished his career with the Mets last year, and they were down by 17 runs a bunch of times. Where I was like, "All right, let Todd Zeal pitch."
It's like
he definitely stood. He pitched two innings and gave up like 7 runs in 2 innings for one game.
That's kind of like the Jets saying, "Ah, let Tupa be the quarterback. Who cares?"
You know, not for nothing. When Vinny Testaverde got hurt a couple years ago, the first game of the year, and Tupa came in and led them downfield, I thought the punter was going to be the quarterback for the remainder of the season.
I think we all did. I actually think you were watching that on my couch, if I'm not mistaken.
I think I was home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in 1993, Canseco pitched 1 inning for the Rangers.
God bless him.
God bless him all.
You know, I'm a big fan of Jose Canseco. I'm quite fond of him. I'm glad you brought him up. Despite the fact that a lot of people aren't too fond of him and they think he's a jerk of sorts. You know,
I happen to think he was a good guy for actually having a 900 number, 1-800 call Jose.
You know, I think that's a fine thing. I just think, you know, I just don't think that.
I think he told the truth that nobody wants to hear.
Exactly, exactly. No matter what anyone says, I don't think he's a jerk. And if you had to test him with this new device that's being made at MIT on his cell phone called the Jerkometer, you would find this out to be the case. MIT has created this device. It's software that plugs into your cell phone that, based on mathematical algorithms, judges the level of stress in your voice, the space between words, and can tell you definitively if the person you're talking to is a jerk or not.
And it'll also be able to tell if the user of the phone is Asian by virtue of the fact that they downloaded software on their cell phone.
That's a good point. Hey, man, I would probably get it. But I'm kind of Asian by default, I guess. Because I'm part samurai in my LARPing ability. Because
my other character, the Dragon Steamboat, whatever the hell his name, I fucked up.
No, you're all right. Stuck. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Forget it. I'm just gonna take this Nazi sword and cut my wrist.
I knew you had it at home.
it's an heirloom.
He loves it.
I sleep with it.
I do.
The other last thing.
My thing.
Rest it between my legs.
The last thing that I wanted to discuss today was designer toilet paper.
Okie dokie.
You guys familiar with the new trend that's coming up, designer toilet paper? Charmin put out a brand that actually is like scented with pineapples, and it's supposed to fight the duty smell. There's a brand out of Spain.
After it's in the toilet?
No, the
paper.
At
last, I'm going to make pineapples smell good.
So when you got turd on it, it doesn't smell?
The paper itself smells like pineapple, so it masks your duty smell. It's like air freshener while you're wiping. But
how long do you hold it out after you wipe it out?
Otherwise, you might have to throw it in the toilet and flush it.
On the dining room table with some pine cones and wood chips.
You observe it for a while.
Hey man, I'm just pointing out what's out there. You got some pineapple scented toilet paper. Renova Negro from Spain is a silk black toilet paper. There's a Louis Vuitton toilet paper being put out by, I don't remember the name of the company. It's not actually Louis Vuitton, but Louis Vuitton licensed it and put it out there. It's the new trend. It's all the rage. It's coming up. Are you guys going to be getting involved with some designer toilet paper?
I'd really like to see what black silk toilet paper felt like.
Do they have a chocolate one?
Apparently there's a whole, like sexy advertising campaign attached to the silk, the black silken one. I actually don't know if it's silk or if it's really just a silk feel.
This
one.
Is definitely coming.
I don't know about you guys. I'm not going to get involved with any of this. I'm just going to stick to wiping with fruit roll-ups like everybody else.
Obviously, like a normal person does.
You get everything that way. They stick.
The thing that freaks me out.
Snack, you know. Practical.
The thing that really freaks me out about this particular one from Spain is that it's black. How do you know when you're done with your designer toilet paper if you've got nothing but black?
Well, unless there's
no
black,
blood left.
Then it's pretty easy to tell if you're done.
You're going to say you've never had a blacky tar substance fall from your nether regions?
No, just ammunition and I piss laser.
Oh, sorry, that's I forgot. Laser and bullets are all that you get. It's easy for you. Whenever your dropping off stops clinking when you drop it in the bowl, you know it's done.
I'm so scared when I dump, because, you know, those bowls are pretty hard. It's enough to set off a shell. Like blowing my asshole out, taking a dump.
Gotta be careful sitting.
And lasers, forget about it. You know, water and electricity, it's not good for the humans.
His toilet's 18 feet high.
It is.
There's a moat around it just in case.
I turn myself into a mortar. Drop it in.
Exquisite.
Blows the toilet out from the bottom.
I'm the only guy who has to do trigonometry to take a shit. Gotta find the angle.
The cosine goes in here. All right, we're ready.
Well, I need to. I tattooed the unit circle on my 56-inch tricep. That's right.
This just did.
I was just loving reading it and seeing you going to read it with this serious look on your face and then realizing. Saturday Night Live.
I saw Seriously Dead, and I thought it was something serious to read. And I'm color me embarrassed. I'm not even going to say a word about it.
I was about to look it up.
Color Me Embarrassed. That's a pop band from the 90s, right?
Color Me Bad.
Sorry, I had a little...
I want to embarrass you up.
Well, that said, I'm officially done with any news items that I need to speak about. I think we've run the gamut on sports injuries. I think we've run the gamut on
Sports injuries to both pride and body parts.
I think we've run the gamut on the Academy Awards, and obviously we've run the gamut and then some, and beat my addiction to role playing into the ground yet again, as we discussed the eFed of my life. Personally speaking, I think we've had a complete show, and I'm ready to walk away proud.
I want to thank you for having me on, and it wouldn't be complete without mentioning Danny Cooksey. So Danny Cooksey, shout out.
God bless him. God bless him. Yeah, thank you. As always, you're always welcome to join us here on the Brown Lodge, as are all of you every Monday and Wednesday night, 8 to 10 p.m. here on RadioBBQ.net. You should check out DJ Newstyle's show tomorrow night at 10 p.m. as well as Thursday night at 10 p.m. where he does a fantastically magical show.
Where he unsheaths the Nazi sword
as much as he possibly can, and his samurai sword as well. He's a dual fisted warrior. He has two handed fighting technique by rolling 20 sided die. But yeah, you should check out his show. A lot of entertainment there. A lot of musical entertainment mixed in, which we neglect all the time. It's a good time, and you should check it out.
Thank you guys. I want to say thanks. And thank you again. And thanks for calling it a Nazi heirloom. I'm going to have to fend off Jews for the next month. Thanks.
What else would you be doing with that Nazi heirloom, though, fending off the Jews?
I don't know. See ya. Bye.
Thank you, Newstyle.
Later, bro.
Thank you to oh, man, he broke up there. Thank you to the Yeehaw guy for calling earlier today, and thank you to all of you for checking us out. Thank you to the guy who I met on the E-train who was on here earlier. I was instant messaging me. We were having a great conversation that got us into our whole movie talk, and thank you to all of you. The Brown Lodge, we'll see you in about, how many hours is it? I never figured out. In about 46 hours, we'll see you again.
Just about.
And it'll be a magical time.
We'll be going already in foot. Well, you will. I'll probably be at work, but
God only knows. It might be Runner all by himself.
Well, actually, no. I started a new job, so I might not be here on time.
Well, all right, we'll see how it all works out. Hopefully, I won't work overtime on Wednesday, and I'll at least be able to do the show by myself. I will do a retrospective on my e-wrestling career, so be sure to tune in. 8 p.m. Wednesday. What's that?
No, I just have to talk about that before it happens. No one's here.
Oh. Maybe I'll be broadcasting from my house. Who knows? That was always an idea. Maybe I would have an alternate studio set up at my house. We'll see how that works out. That said, I'm done. Good night. Have a fantastic evening. Thank you for enjoying the Brown Lodge. Hey, you guys do whatever you need to do. I'm done.
Bye, everybody. That's what I need to do. Bye.
See you later. With the Brown Lodge. Rock and roll.
Ew.
And the best Chinese food of all time is roast pork lo mein.
You're going to tell me that's better than General Chow, Cho Chow Tsao's chicken.
Okay, seriously, stop the music. Stop the music. Cut my effing music!
Okay, boss.
Seriously speaking, I was just thinking, that was always my favorite thing with what's his name? Shane Douglas, cut the effing music. Cut my effing music when he came to the ring. It was the greatest thing. Seriously speaking, General Tso's chicken you think is better than roast pork lo mein?
I think it's the best Chinese food there is.
Runner?
What I really like is the lemon chicken.
By the way, thank you for Rumby for bringing us back. We were about to end this thing right here. I'm sorry. What was it?
I really like lemon chicken.
Okay, lemon chicken, I don't have a quarrel with. It's a little...
You hate General Whatever's chicken.
Hold on. I don't have a major quarrel with lemon chicken. I could tolerate it. I hate what I call candy chicken. General Tso's, sesame, any of the ones that are breaded and sweet and sour with some weird candy sauce on it, get it the hell away from me. I hate it, and I hate everyone who likes it.
You hate Deja, then. She just threw up a sweet and sour.
I'm sorry, Deja.
She's sweet and sour. I like pulling the. Sometimes it's too much greasy breading around it. You got to rip it off.
Oh, that's the favorite part.
Okay, you guys.
I could just eat that like a bag of breading, like a bag of like even if you got like a KFC, like just the outside.
By the way,
my God.
100K, it's out in the chat room now. Your lovely lady wants some Chinese food. You have to pick up orange chicken on the way home.
Yeah. It's only 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I deliver.
In all honesty, dude, I hate any sort of breaded, sweetened chicken. Gross, makes me mad. I like noodles. I like chicken when it's in a sauce, but not like breaded in sauce, you know? Like, that's why lemon chicken I can tolerate.
You like to feel the meat, is what you're saying?
Constantly, but that's another story entirely.
Oh.
But no, I don't like the breaded, I don't like when it's caked on with sweet. You know, does that make any sense?
Yeah. Because it has that thick, almost Zeppelin-like, Zeppelin.
I was like, what? It tastes like Jimmy Page?
I hate Zeppelies, too. Greasy fried donuts.
I could tolerate
them. Don't get me wrong, I've probably sat and ate 15 of them at a table, but, you know.
the guy with Homer on his arm doesn't like greasy fried donuts.
I like regular donuts, but I don't like...
Krispy Kreme donuts specifically, the greasy fried ones, delicious. I don't know. I don't know why we got into that whole thing there. It just makes me insane. I hate candy chicken. I think you should enjoy beef and pork and noodles. Maybe a little soup. Some wontons. Slices of roast pork. I'm so starving.
I love shrimp toast.
In all honesty, you guys want to go to, you were eating Chinese food when I got here
tonight. I ordered it and it came like 20 minutes before you got here.
Is Fortune Garden open? You want to call Fortune Garden for me really quick?
Yeah.
I'm starving. I'm absolutely starving. My wife has food for me at home. I shouldn't be ordering Chinese food.
Golden Star's open, but they're kind of far away. They're on Clover Road.
That's all right. This is the Brown Lodge. Should have ended the show, but Rumby had to bring up the fact that we were talking about the best Chinese food ever earlier in the show, and it made me think that we need Chinese food.
Let's see if they're up.
It's not ringing. That's the funniest ring that I've ever heard a phone have. You do have their number, right? Obviously. Is that who you order from?
Yeah. And I ordered it tonight, so I know it.
I actually have the number saved in my cell phone. That's how much I love them.
Okay, let's see if they're around.
Fortune Garden, Matthew.
Hey, are you guys still taking orders for pickup, or are you closed?
Pick it up, yeah. Until 11:30.
Oh, excellent. I'd like to make an order.
Pick up or delivery?
For pickup.
Okay, what's the order?
I'm just going to get a 1 quart of hot and sour soup.
A quart of hot and sour soup.
Give me one egg roll.
One egg roll.
And give me an order of boneless pork, roast pork, the boneless ribs.
The barbecue roast pork.
Yeah, and that's it.
Wait, can we add something to that?
Actually, you know what? Scratch the barbecue roast pork.
You don't want shrimp toast?
And make it... give me the... what do you call? The satay beef instead of the roast pork. What else would you need?
Can I have an order of orange chicken with white meat?
Orange chicken?
Yeah, made with white meat.
White meat only in the orange chicken.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
You don't want shrimp toast?
No.
Okay. So we got the. Could you give this back? Give that back to us.
A quarter hot sauce, one egg roll, the beef on the skewer, and the orange chicken.
Sounds delicious.
Okay, pick it up, right?
Yeah, we're gonna pick it up.
Your name, please.
The name is Chris.
And phone number, please.
It's 718-360-1413. That's 718-360-1413.
Okay, about 10 minutes.
All right, buddy, we'll see you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Don't say anything bad. I don't want him spitting in my food.
I love that he said, what's that?
It worked out perfectly. Well, thank you to everyone for the Chinese food. We'll see you in a couple of days. Where the Brown Lodge.
Good night, everybody. The Brown Lodge every Monday and Wednesday, 8 to 10, or 10 something. Have a hot toddy with your boys. Ooh, 100K. Chris, Jack, Backstreet, Tweed, and your buddy Runner. Not everybody. Peace.
In the Middle East. You.